This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 196. So what did you watch this week?
God damn.
My name is Pike.
That sounded like you said my name is Pike.
Nah, it's Mike.
Captain Pike? Dude, we're like 3 days away from Picard.
Yeah. Which means I'm like...
3 months?
Two, 3 months.
Are you waiting until all of Picard and all of Discovery?
Probably in all of Twilight Zone Season 2. You know, because...
Right. I hear you. So, what'd you watch this week?
I watched some shows and stuff. Really, the only thing I didn't get a chance to watch was Doctor Who, kind of like we talked about before we sat down here, which was because of schoolwork last night, so I couldn't watch it live. And then it just wasn't up on the BBC America app earlier today, and... kind of ran out of time, but I'll get in before next week.
Okay.
I mean, I did watch You, episode 3.
I watched You, too.
Like a concert, you mean?
No. Yeah, and a lot of shows were coming back this week, so.
Yeah, well, I feel like... I haven't watched Perfect Harmony yet. I forgot all about that one.
Did you watch the one from the week before?
No, I haven't watched it at all. I feel like not many came back, though.
The Good Doctor came back. New Amsterdam came back. Stumptown was back. Schooled came back. This Is Us came back.
Fuck, I watched all those, too.
But not many came back.
Well, yeah, I guess more than I thought. I guess did any of the other Arrowverse shows come back? Besides the two-part?
No.
Okay.
Although technically we're recording this on a Monday, and so last night was Supergirl and Batwoman.
Okay.
That are fresh back from the crossover.
Yeah.
Which I assume that, since you didn't watch Doctor Who, that'll be our big one to talk about at the end.
Yeah, that'll be our finale.
There's a lot. I took a lot of notes on that.
Hair.
Yeah, you got a few of them.
Anyhow... the Rookie's not back yet, though.
No.
Which is, that's kind of what I'm looking for. Oh, you know what? Speaking of old stuff I like, I was thinking of Nathan Fillion.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were going to go there.
Did you see that me, Jeff but... Anderson is going to be at the Bangor Toy and Comic in April?
Interesting.
Yeah, so Dante's going to be. We're going to Dante, Randall, and Jay Muse.
Hmm. No, Kev Smith?
See, here's the thing. I don't even care about Jason Muse being up there. I'm actually excited to meet Dante.
Yeah.
I already met Brian O'Halloran. I believe I got my Clerks DVD insert signed by him.
Nice.
So it'd be cool to meet Randall.
Randall.
Jeff Anderson.
I did. You know what would be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I did find my old movie gallery name badge, the one where I made it up to say my name is Randall, Master of My Own Destiny.
That's awesome.
That'd be cool if I could get him to sign that.
Ice
Video Store?
That would be. I do have my movie gallery Mike name badge, the imprinted ones.
Yeah.
You know, they have the engraved ones.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have my old Burger King Host Marriott name tag from my first job ever still. It's like I found a place to stick those and everything like that collected together, and just over the years it's traveled kind of around with me. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Where do you want to start? I'm not feeling overly motivated right now for some reason.
Well, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, you know what I think it really is? I think it's because we just finished watching Manifest from last week, and it just really sucked the will and hope of TV out of me.
Well, see, here's the thing. So
last fucking terrible.
Last week we watched it because it had just come back, and we were like, "Oh, we're gonna watch this," and we were like, "God, this is awful." Mm-hmm. Then afterwards, we were like, "This is fucking awful. I don't know if we're even gonna watch this anymore." But yeah. Then you sent me the message today, and you're like, "Hey, you coming over to watch Manifest?" I'm like, "Did we decide we're gonna watch it?" And you're like, "Well, Kate really wants to watch it, and I'll watch it with her if you're not gonna be here." And
I'm okay, like, so hold on. I'd like to make an adjustment to the level of excitement in your voice because you're pretending to be me, and yeah. I'd like to actually say how this went. Are we watching Manifest tonight together? Like, it was a question, and you're like, "I don't know, are we?" And I'm like, "Fuck." Well, Kate wants to watch it, so I guess I'm gonna watch it with her. If you want to come over, great. Early, if not, I'll watch it with her at some point today. And you're like, "Yeah, I'll come over." So that's kind of how it actually went.
Gotcha. One of my exes used to argue that, you know, when you're communicating via text, meanings can be lost and shit. So I guess that's one of those points.
No, nothing your ex ever said was accurate or correct.
She said that I had a nice penis once.
I have no bearing on that. I've never seen it. I don't want to see it. So I can't comment. But otherwise, you know, wrong. So, instead of spiting.
Fair enough.
But my wife, I can't tell if she actually likes the show or not, or if she's just being, like, disingenuous when she says, "Oh, I love that show. I can't wait to see what happens." Because she sells it like she's mean.
I'd like to venture a guess. Based on the watching of it tonight and the further down that she kept slinking on the couch to the point where she was almost asleep and seemed like angry that she couldn't be asleep, but was instead watching said show.
Yeah. It wasn't good. How about that? We'll just say it wasn't good.
We can't say it wasn't good. We have to say it was horseshit.
Fine. Some new college kid we find out had a calling of a dead girl who apparently was an art major who had all his stuff from 5 years ago and he disappeared, like his box of shit from his room.
Box of shit.
And then he died. She was murdered. And then, of course, his fingerprints are in her room because it's his old stuff. And, you know, yeah. So they arrest him. But then, you know, the sister there, I don't know what her name is.
Michaela,
yeah, she goes to the and is like, "She had an extra key card. Who made it?" And this guy's like, "Oh, you know what? I must have made it and forgot it for her." And she's like, "Yeah, nice new boots. Can't get blood out of leather, can you?" And then he goes to run, and then that's the end. They arrest him, and the other kid's free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and the new, like we talked about, the seizure calling vision is apparently plane turbulence. Still done.
But remember last week when we watched it and I was like, "Someone's going to get a seizure from this." Well, now everybody on the show who has these new ramped up callings has seizures.
Yeah, it looks like they're having a seizure. Yeah, but it's dumb. Yep, it's dumb.
Oh, and don't forget that, you know, mom now had a calling in her own voice because she's been impregnated with dad's calling sperm.
Yep, that's right. She has, yep.
She's still going to do the blood test to make sure that it's, you know, his baby.
Yeah.
God damn, this show sucks.
No, I've never seen a real paternity test. You know, other than the ones on Murray. And even then, I haven't seen those. It's just mostly like the spoof clips. But when she took the paper off the printer to look at the DNA samples, and in giant block letters, it said paternity confirmed. I feel like that wasn't accurate. I feel like that was made up for TV. Because the machine couldn't tell you if it was paternity or maternity.
No.
It would just confirm the DNA is a match.
It would show two columns.
It would show the DNA, and then the person would then have to read the data to find out if it was a match or not. That's my assumption. Again, I'm no DNA expert. Yeah. Good doctor.
It's back.
So,
Sean makes a pro con list.
Yeah, basically Sean's trying to decide if he wants to date Carly or Leah.
Which let's remember for a second here. Yeah. This was my biggest problem. Leah doesn't want to date him.
Right.
Like, Leah has made this very clear from the get-go.
They're like brother and sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet he's like, well, you need to decide if I want to date her.
Yeah.
You might want to ask her.
Yeah, she wants nothing to do with you, whereas Carly actually really likes you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in the end, Sean tells Carly, hey, this is what happened. I had a bad moment. I had a breakdown. I was hitting myself. Leah came in and comforted me, and we fell asleep on the bed together. She was holding me. And Carly, obviously, should have a bad problem with that, because she kind of worked hard to accomplish that and couldn't. But at the same time, she's not looking at it like Leah's not a romantic relationship threat to her. Leah's like her sister, his sister. You know, just like Dr. Glassman is like his dad. So those are his family. So he's closer to them. He's known them longer. He's established a bond with them longer. And so, you know, like when Glassman hugged him in this episode, and then Sean actually hugged him back,
mm-hmm.
it's because of how long they've known each other and the bond they've established. Same with right. Leah. Right. So Carly's jealous girlfriend routine is justifiable until her intelligence can take over and be like, okay, this is how I have to look at it. Instead, she does the, well, you can't live with Leah anymore if we're going to date. And of course, Sean's like, okay, I want to be with you
for now.
And then the other two backstories was one girl.
Oh, don't forget that he was also, like, it wasn't just pro-con list, but he was actually, like, taking his pulse to see who made his heart beat faster.
Yeah, man. The other two, the two backstories, one, this drug mule guy who had drugs in him that were blocking his poop area. And, you know, of course, once they took all the drugs out of him, they stole the drugs out of the lab and ran off with him.
Thus fulfilling
surprise,
the,
surprise.
Thus fulfilling the prophecy of the drugs in the butthole.
Holy shit. Funko's coming out with He-Man, sorry, Masters of the Universe. I can understand He-Man, Skeletor, man, I can understand Battlecat,
mm-hmm.
Cringer, you know, Battlecat and then AKA Cringer, and I can't understand the Sorceress, but the other two? Just kind of random? Like, you wouldn't have Man-at-Arms or Teela or Evil-Lyn over those?
I think because, maybe because they were like, oh, we've got too many good guys. We need some bad guys.
Not really. They only have good guys. They have is Teela. I mean, He-Man and the Sorcerer and Prince Adam.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the same person.
Oh, and they're getting a 10-inch Skeletor too.
Oh, cool!
Giant size.
Nice.
Yeah. I wonder tongue lasher, but it's T-U-N-G.
Yeah, I wonder if the gear comes off Battle Cat, so then he looks like Cringer roaring. Like when we were kids.
Yeah.
It would be appropriate.
It would.
He-Man. Just in time for the new Netflix series. It sucks. So the two backstories on yes. Good Doctor were the drug mule and then the former opiate addicted. Oh, so it's definitely drug related. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't want pain medication because she was afraid of becoming an addict again. So she had two very painful procedures done without drugs. And, yeah. So that's that. That's that episode.
Yep.
New Amsterdam came back, and it was part two of the drug people taking over the hospital.
Okay, so you've been in law enforcement for a while.
18 years.
When you hear Silver Alert,
yep.
Do you think that's a dangerous person with a weapon?
Well, no, because Maine has established a Silver Alert, which is a lost...
elderly person.
Well, not even elderly. It's a lost or missing person who has dementia, Alzheimer's, or some other mental disease where they, you know, could be in danger of themselves.
Fair enough. Most times, an elderly person.
You associate with an old person who's lost, not there's someone with a weapon in the hospital.
Yeah.
That'd be like a code blue, code red, code yellow, code...
code get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, code anything. So the hospital gets locked down.
And cut... okay, so House did an episode of a lockdown
that
was pretty cool because everyone got stuck in different rooms and had to, like, you know, talk to each other and come to different things. Everyone here got conveniently locked in rooms, like, Iggy there and
like
his husband.
Frome and his husband who are having issues, and then another psychologist who Frome was supposed to give an eval saying she sucks to.
Yeah.
And, of course, they end up having a marriage counseling session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do this.
It's not gonna do it.
Okay.
It's all been right like that. I didn't put anything in my hair today. This is left over from yesterday, and it was a rough sleeping night, apparently, with the CPAP mask on.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so everybody got locked in these rooms conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Indian guy there got locked in with his future daughter-in-law, but not really. The mother of his grandchild.
Yeah, and she's got obsessive-compulsive disorder. She's been off her meds because of the pregnancy, and she's got to move home to her parents because she needs the help and support. And, you know, whatever his name is there, prove that he can help and support her.
Just like every episode, he proves something else, whether it's she should have the baby, he'll be there, she's a strong person. Every episode, he's got to prove something else to her.
And then we have the drug addict doctor who had the leg surgery, and her former physical therapist guy, doctor who was helping her, and he was going to maintain her pills for her and dish them out as needed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they get locked into a room with a girl whose appendix is about to burst. So she has to perform emergency surgery.
But this is the one who doesn't want any drugs.
Yeah. And also, she isn't a surgeon. She's an ER doc, but she did a surgical rotation. And she can only stand. She has to stand up to do this, but she can't put any weight on the other foot because she could break it. And yada, 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 yada. Well, she successfully has the surgery, and then the physical therapy guy admits that he did take her pill that went missing, and blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
I did tell you last week that this show has been renewed for 3 more seasons, right?
Yeah. I'm wrapping my head around that, and I just, yeah, yeah.
3, 4, and 5.
No one dies. No one's killed. The prisoners are all eventually recaptured. Black Doctor got stabbed.
I did love the one scene where the woman really, you know, she thinks she's made it, and she's trucking through the halls, and she opens up that one door, and there's like 50 police officers with desks and everything, because this is what they settled as their command post, and they all just stand up, and they're like, drop it, you okay, yep, let me drop that.
So, yep, that was a show that was on this week.
Yeah.
Oh, Stumptown, I watched that.
So, at least in this one, Dex is actually willing to admit that she's afraid to be alone. You know, she's always had Ansel there. She's always felt like, you know, she kind of says, what was it? She was like, I know, God, that I said to you, you know, that I didn't want to be responsible for Ansel, but this isn't what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
But she's feeling lost without him around because, you know, in the opening scene, she's throwing a party, celebrating her independence, getting drunk, having a bunch of people over. You know, the food truck guy's there. He shows up with the tacos. He's like, you told me to bring tacos. And he's like, are you sure you're all right? You know, is this like a cry for help? And basically she does say that. She's like, look, I didn't think that it would be this hard. And
it was.
Yeah.
It was hard for her to do. And,
but Ansel's happy, you know, being with Gray.
Yeah.
There's an interesting case that she gets assigned to because there's a kid who wants to know who his biological parents were because he was adopted by this couple. And, you know, he reaches a point where he wants to know. It turns out that there's this whole sinister thing, which actually sounded like it could be believable.
Mm-hmm.
But there's these religious people who decide that Native Americans are not fit parents.
Mm-hmm.
So they arrange to have fake CPS people come in, take away their kids, and then put them up for adoption.
And this seems real to me.
That's what I was saying.
This seems very realistic to me.
Yeah, it seems like, that could happen. Because the woman even, you know, she's like, they didn't deserve these children. They would be terrible parents. We're doing God's work here. Mm-hmm. And then the guy that pulls the gun on Dex, and she's like, really? A gun in church?
Yeah.
All right.
And then she beats him up.
Yeah.
I always think it's cool when after someone disarms someone else with a gun, they take it apart and leave it.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't take the gun with them or throw it, and they take it apart and just leave it there and walk out.
Yep.
That's like a badass way to leave the room. Oh, Gray's doing the carjacking gimmick, right?
Yes, working undercover, and now he's kind of catching feelings for this one girl, and he wants to, you know, have her not get caught, and kind of, like, trying to convince her to keep her nose clean or you know, to get out, but at the same time not blow his cover, because he kind of needs to have the cover.
Right. So he gets a Porsche. He had to prove he could steal cars by stealing a Porsche, so, of course, they give him one from police lockup or whatever, but they put a tracker on it, which Gray finds and takes off. And they make a point of telling us where the tracker is. So, of course, when he gets to the very first thing this new love interest does is goes and checks the vehicle to see if there's a tracker on it right where they said there would be one, and there wasn't. And they steal an Audi together.
Mm-hmm. It's very touching.
Yeah, yeah. And then at the end, the new boss there says, hey, we got all this heroin we need to get rid of. We stole this by accident.
We just happened to accidentally steal all this heroin.
We just stole this truck full of boxes to see what was in it, and we found all this heroin.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of left it on a cliffhanger that way.
Also, Dex, the kid that was the part native that he got stolen from his family, basically, also convinces her to go to a veteran support group that he goes to.
Yep.
And she actually goes.
Yep.
So that could be a step down the right path for her.
Here's hoping. I really enjoy this show.
I do too. This is really the first show we've talked about this week that I really liked.
Right.
You know, the other three we talked about, I'm like, I may even stop watching Good Doctor in New Amsterdam.
I may as well. They've definitely become background shows already, but...
I mean, I've picked up a couple new shows I want to watch,
mm-hmm.
so it wouldn't hurt my feelings to retire some that I don't care about as much. So, I know I run a podcast where I talk about, I'm on a podcast. I don't know what the words I want to say, but I have a podcast where I watch TV and movies, and I'm trying to watch less TV and movies.
So, you always are.
I am. I'm always trying to cycle stuff out.
Yep. We hear this every couple of episodes, you know, every 10, 20 episodes. Like, I'm going to commit to watching less shows.
Well, I mean, I
watch fewer things and more quality stuff. And
essentially, except for Crisis, I've cycled out all the DC shows. I don't know if I'm going to start watching them back again. I'll probably watch the last couple of Arrow just because it's the last couple of Arrow. You know?
And you know you're going to watch Legends.
I'm definitely going to watch Legends. That's the best show. And I'll check out the new Lois and Clark Superman one because I love Superman and I'm going to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I never picked up Evil, which I still see the commercials and it looks good, but I go back to you telling me how terrible it was and I believe you.
And every time I see a commercial, I go, false advertising.
I dropped, that other one on Fox.
Prodigal Son.
Yeah. I dropped that one. I did check out Deputy, but I'm like, fuck it. That first episode didn't do enough. And then I know you watched it. I tried to give a good watch to the new Bone Collector series. I can't.
Nor can I.
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
I watched it because the lead actor was on Grimm.
Hank on Grimm.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to give it a shot. I like Hell him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just called the Bone Collector. It's called Lincoln Rhyme.
Yeah.
Hold on. I wrote it down here. Lincoln Rhyme, : The Hunt for the Bone Collector. It's the same fucking story as the movie The Bone Collector, well, which is spread out.
Which is based on a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one, Denzel Washington, the paralyzed, paraplegic there, paralyzed from the neck down, master detective who's after this, the Bone Collector, which is the name of a serial killer. Yeah. Like, and I knew that's what it was going to be about when I got into it, but when the show opens and he's up and walking around, I thought, oh, maybe it was before he got paralyzed.
Nope.
Oh, that's just the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Yep. It didn't do anything for me. And knowing that it's an NBC show means that it's going to do even less for me.
Yeah, basically.
I don't enjoy it. It's not something that I'm going to want to watch more of. I can tell you that. It felt like an extended episode of any Law and Order show.
Yeah.
Except that he's laying in a bed, beating his son soundly at video games, not sure how that's happening.
Yeah.
I'm an avid game player, and I can tell you, somebody who has no movement from the neck down, yeah, not going to be stomping his son at a fighting game like that.
I tried to play Star Wars Battlefront with my son. It took me a good 45 minutes just to
jump.
Jump. There's so much on this Xbox One. There's so many, like, ugh. So we're playing, split screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was a Jedi, and he was the Empire. And eventually, like, he's like, oh, you could be Luke Skywalker. I unlocked that guy if you get that token right there. And I'm like, all right. So then I became Luke Skywalker. And then that was fun as shit. Because by then I had kind of played, like, the controls are too sensitive. It's just, I want easier point-and-click shit. You know, like, when I aim with my sniper rifle and I shoot someone, like, I don't have to keep moving it, and now I'm getting shot at. No, fuck, no, it's just too much. I am a
NES Super NES.
I am an NES Super NES original game Atari. Like, that's the extent for me, you know? Like,
now you got two directional sticks.
Oh, my God.
One to look, it's one
absurd.
To move.
It's absurd. Oh, do this and this. And my friend said, oh, it's so easy. You just, you know, it's... And you shot the guy. Yeah, no, I'm good. You know, I'm a simple guy. Like the game that we played like a few months back or whatever it was, where I don't know what it was, but like you can run around and shoot people and then steal cars and run people over and outrun the police.
Grand Theft Auto.
Nope, not that one. It's a different one.
Oh.
That's fun.
Okay.
Like when I'm in the car doing the high speed pursuit with the police, that's a lot of fun because I'm just driving a car. And that's pretty easy. I don't have, like, but out of the car trying to shoot and do, oh, that sucks. In the car racing around, crashing into things, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not a complex gamer, you know? I like my, you know, two buttons, maybe four, and a rocker pad, and I'm good.
Oh, Mike.
I like pinball.
Yeah. Yeah. Two buttons.
Yeah. I like race car games that are, you know, where you sit in the seat and turn the wheel and step on the gas. And I do not do manual. I do automatic. I appreciate how the graphics look. I appreciate, like, all the shit you can do. It's great. Like, it's really cool. And the fact that, like, people love it and my son's good at it, that's awesome.
Think about the hand-eye coordination that he's got going on.
Yeah, too bad he can't do shit good well in school.
That's the delicate balance.
Anyways, I don't know where we went there. But, oh, yeah, we're talking about the Bone Collector. Yeah, so that show sucks.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep watching this one. I popped it on Hulu. Speaking of Hulu, I just wanted to ask you if you've seen this. The past couple times that I popped on Hulu, they always had that front page where they're like, things you might be interested in. And the very top one is a cartoon show called Little Kenny.
Yeah.
Cartoon version of Letterkenny, I assume.
Yeah, but they're only like 2 or 3 minutes long, and it's like little kid versions of it, and it's in there.
Okay.
It's meh.
Gotcha.
So I'm sitting at work the other day, and I get a notification. Like, my phone does a notification. I look at it, and I'm like, what do you mean I paid Hulu? I just paid them on Christmas Day. I don't have to pay them until January 25th. And I look, oh, yeah, you paid Hulu $14.22. I'm like, what? So I click on the email, and it's like, oh, welcome to Hulu Live. I'm like, bullshit. So I my kids were off. This was Friday. My kids were off.
Oh.
Hold on. So I call them up. No, it was Thursday during the storm day. So I call them up, and I go, what are you doing right now? Kaden's like, oh, I'm watching YouTube, blah, 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 blah. What's your sister doing? I don't know. Hold on. You know, typical kid shit. And she was also watching YouTube on her laptop. So, okay, neither one of them did it. So then I checked with a couple other people, and we have too many people using our Hulu sign-in.
Sounds like it.
And they're like, and one guy was at work, and the other people were like, oh, since our David moved, we don't have internet. So it's like, okay. So I don't know what happened. So I called Hulu, and they said someone at 3:35 went on, clicked on a show, like when you can look a show up, and it says, oh, if you have live TV, you can watch it. You just have to click on it and then click confirm you want to watch it, and boom, you've bought live TV. Hulu Live, which is $54.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is $43 more than I'm paying a month, which I'm no interest in it. So they refunded my money and it'll be shut off this coming weekend. But that was super annoying.
They couldn't pin down the IP address of who did it?
Nope. They couldn't tell me. So I went and looked. I had 56 devices attached to that Hulu account because I've had that Hulu account for 7-8 years, whatever it is. So like anytime I got a new Roku or I signed in on this laptop or on my phone or my new phone or my new tablet or this tablet or whatever.
You haven't had 56 devices, though.
No.
No.
But like my kid's stuff or my wife or like my cousin Johnny or
I was going to say the
sister.
Other people that are.
Yeah. So I changed the email address and I changed the password and disconnected all 56 of those things. I let them know, hey, this is a new email. This is a new password. So.
Interesting. I wish they could have told you because.
I was very curious because I'm like, because something like I'll get an email that says, oh, you've had a new sign in, you know, da 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 da, like, you know, Rockport, Maine.
Oh, yeah, that's the IP address thing. It doesn't know.
Right.
Like, I'll boot up my laptop and I'll go to shop for something on Best Buy and it's like, the closest store to you is Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm like, false.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just
Spectrum is terrible with their IP naming. It's
So anyways, it's just one of those things. It was annoying. But my wife loves the live TV. If only because like the other night when she was home on Saturday, Pretty Woman was on one of the channels and she could just put it on and sit there. And that's the one thing she misses about having normal TV or cable TV is the mindless movies. But luckily, the last 2 days, there weren't shit on that she cared about other than, like, Food Network stuff, which is, like, we can sit and watch hours of Chopped without commercials. Like, we don't need to watch it with commercials. Yeah.
Every now and then, it's nice to slum it.
Yep. 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 That's how I feel. Anyhow.
So how about the half-hour shows?
I didn't know if you want to talk about you.
No. We're in kind of a cranky mood. I feel like we need to build up to talking about something good like you.
Okay. Half-hour shows. Well, we can talk about Schooled.
Yeah.
When Meller was trying to put pants on, I had to pause the show. I was laughing so hard. And I appreciated the hell out of the effort that he put in putting his pants on.
Yep. Is this a guy who only wears shorts?
Yeah.
That's all he wears. But this one definitely tackled the age-old question of whether or not you can be in a relationship and work together.
Yes.
The answer is no.
No.
No, you can't.
Yeah, no.
Ever. You and I have talked about that multiple times.
We have, yeah.
Get into it again.
We have.
Yeah. But, yeah, they discussed that. And, yeah, you can't do it.
Yeah, Meller's lady friend becomes a new school nurse. And
because
he
wants her to.
Right. Well, because she needs a job at the same time.
And they need a nurse.
And all the quirks that, and like Tim Meadows said, like all these quirks that you love about each other, you will hate.
Mm-hmm.
The fact
that Meller talks to his food.
Yes. Like, oh, ground bison full of your lean protein and da-da-da-da. The fuel you're going to give me. I'm like, holy shit, just eat.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Or like, she's a bad parker. But if you look at those parking spots, they are tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's also, she uses the wrong words a lot.
Yes. Or she,
which is funny because he's a gym teacher. The fact that his vocabulary is better than hers.
Yeah, like she says possibly wrong.
Yeah. Oh, God, what is it? It supposedly.
Supposedly, that's what it was.
Supposedly. I know people that say that.
Oh, supposedly.
Yeah. Tom Farnham used to say that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Supposedly.
Well, maybe supposedly.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And you'd call him on it, and he'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, what? Why doesn't Wizzo smell so good no more?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Why doesn't Winslow smell so good no more? Yeah, why doesn't it? Okay, just, we're on the same page. Massive inside joke. But anyways, callback from 20 years.
But yeah, once again, Schooled proving that it is at its best when Meller is at the forefront.
Yeah,
Meller is the best character on the show. And when we can get more of Meller, it's awesome.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely.
Good place.
Yeah.
Mondays, am I right?
Huh?
That was the name of this episode of The Good Place.
Yeah, Good Place was solid. Essentially, we got the entire new world launched. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what's her name? I want to say Kelly. Vicky. It's not Kelly. Vicky. Thank you. Vicky comes in because none of the demons who are going to be the new architects can understand how to torture people
Well, they also haven't had anybody to torture for a while. So he's like, one of the guys is like, I tried flattening an eggplant yesterday. It's just not the same.
It's like, but if you think about their torture technique, it's like bear with chainsaw hands.
Bear with chainsaw.
Or flattening your penis or this, that, or whatever. It's like.
Try to make it more relatable. Yeah, the bear's smaller. That's more relatable.
He's smaller, yeah. And he has a shirt on that says, I hate Mondays.
Yeah, we're not using chainsaw bears anymore, remember?
And then, you know, Vicky comes in and she basically, like, tortures Tahani with her parents telling how much better her sister is, how kind of a failure she is. I mean, like, all mental, real stuff. And it's just like, that was torture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was more torture than chainsaw hand bear, you know?
Exactly.
So.
But I like it when they, in the beginning, when they were showing, like, the training video of
what
the place was going to be.
They're
like, are we finally done with this? Michael's like, yes. And then, like, it comes on. And,
well, almost.
It's simply the test.
Yeah. Better than all the tests. All right, they just shut it off. It was good. Michael and Janet and Tahani are doing that. The rest of the team are reading, like, profiles on people, decide the first 1,000 people they're going to get a chance to be in this new middle place, you know, for the test runs.
So, of course, the three of them discover that they can read their own files.
Yes.
And Eleanor's like, read my file, Cheating.
Oh, no. Eleanor first like, don't read my file. I love you. You love me, right? And then she's finally like, you got to read my file.
Yeah. Because I don't want something to come up in here and then you resent me and blah, blah, blah. So and I mean, she has a ginormous file.
Oh, it's huge.
And there's a lot of bad, messed up stuff. But then Cheating's basically like, you've done stuff. You lived a life. I've done nothing.
Nothing. Look at your file. My file is a third the size of yours.
Yeah. He says, you know, my place in the fake good place was a room with a stool and a bookshelf, and I was happy. That's how boring I am. So he's worried that he's not good enough for Eleanor.
Yeah.
And Jason does some fucking great Jason stuff.
Yep.
I wrote down a couple of his lines. Like, one of them, he's like, you have a tell. And Chidi's like, I do? Yeah, you tell Eleanor earlier.
I heard you tell Eleanor earlier. And you still look sad.
Yep. And he actually convinced Chidi by basically sitting down and saying how he wasn't good enough for Janet and she deserved better and blah, 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 and making Chidi convince him, no, it's not that. You know, she loves you for who you are and it doesn't matter that she can do everything and you can't do anything. And he's like, oh, I got you. And he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's like,
against all odds, you actually got me.
Yeah.
Like, you did that.
Yeah. Oh, that basically, I just fooled you to talk about you and Eleanor, so now you can't, like, break up with her, because then you'd be going against what you just said.
Zach, there was a good Janet one, too. She said, once on Earth I didn't know something, I had to ask Alexa. I felt dirty.
So once the new place gets up and running, the new good place.
Which, as the title card says, is 1.28 Jeremy Baramees later.
That's right. That is funny. they hear a ding. Oh, our first person is finally going to the good place. Oh, no, it's you guys. The judge agreed once it's up and running and everything else, you guys deserve to go to the good place. And now as Michael's out of a job because the bad place people wouldn't follow him, but they'll follow Vicky, which part of me thinks it's going to come back to bite him in the ass, but another part of me, I don't think it is. Because Vicky seems in her element because she is in charge.
Right. And, you know, at first he tried to tank it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want her to be in charge because he was basically describing Sisyphus. He's like, you know, my job is to push a rock up a hill every day. And then the rock comes running back down and then I have to push it back up. I always have that. And if Vicky takes over, I no longer have the rock. So I no longer have a reason to live. You know, I no longer have a purpose in life. And which, again, is the tale of Sisyphus.
Mm-hmm.
But then they basically convince him. They're like, then do something else. So, yeah. He turns it over to Vicky, and now he's going to go take a vacation in the good place.
So the episode ends with the three of them ascending up in a hot air balloon. The four of them. Five of them, yeah, because Janet's there too.
Six. So it's the four originals, Michael and Janet.
Yeah, so the five of them, yeah.
Six.
Six of them, yeah. Damn it.
But here's the thing. There are three episodes left. Like, I thought that would have been a finale, but now we've got three more episodes.
Well, we finally get to see the good place.
I hope so. I mean, we've seen the waiting room, which was, you know, the post office, where we discovered that Eleanor has a kink for Chidi in the postman's uniform. Superstore.
Hated this episode.
Myrtle. It was better than the episode before it.
Fair enough.
It's still, they're not doing it that strong. They're not doing that well this season.
I don't think so.
I liked in the beginning when they were all kind of, they weren't really roasting Myrtle, but they were talking about how old she was. Like, her email address was from Yahoo. Or Sandra was like, she still called me Moana sometimes, but at least she watched the movie. but she left a bunch of money to Jonah, Prince Jonah.
$1,000.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, yes, it's a lot of money. I wouldn't refuse it, but it's not the amount of money they were making it out to be.
No, they're making it out like it was
$100,000. They can go on a vacation. Really? Like, you can go away for the weekend.
The grand? She yeah. has a teenage daughter plus the two of them? That's not a vacation.
I mean, I could make it work.
Yeah.
Not what they were talking about doing.
Meanwhile, we've got Dina, who wants to make her dad feel bad.
Yeah.
Because she's seeing how, you know, people are feeling bad about Myrtle being gone. So she's like, I want my dad to feel bad. Because her dad's been out of her life for so long. So she
left when she was a kid.
Yeah. So she makes Sandra call up and say that she's dead. But then Sandra being Sandra messes that up and says, no, she's not really. No, she's going to be okay. You should come see her. And Corbin Burnson shows up.
It wasn't Corbin Burnson.
Wasn't it?
No.
I'll stop it.
Nope.
Now you're going to look it up and you're going to go, oh my God. But basically, he comes back to visit her and he...
Dean Norris.
Oh, okay.
I get the confusion.
They look an awful lot like. Amy, for some reason, wants to go to Florida for their vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. Don't know why anybody would voluntarily want to go to Florida, but she does.
Disney's there? Yeah.
Again, the teenage nice. Daughter.
I don't know what to tell you.
I think the best, two of the best things, like, Glenn sucked this episode. Glenn was trying to see signs of Myrtle.
Oh, God.
And then he ended up, they gave him the money so that he'd feel better. And he was going to give it to his pastor who said that, you know, she wasn't quite in heaven yet, but for exactly $1,000, they could buy her way into heaven. And Glenn was like, oh, that's great. It was so stupid. But I liked it when there were a few things in here that I liked. I liked the one little cutaway gag where the guy is walking through the cereal aisle and he picks up the box of cereal. And
it's a box of Wheaties with his picture on it.
And he's just like looking around like, how did this happen? I liked it when Dina introduced her dad to Garrett. She's like, Garrett killed all my birds. Then he had sex with me. And her dad's like, wow, busy guy. but I loved the fact that Cheyenne was basically in a pyramid scheme and Mateo tried to tell her and she inadvertently convinced him to be one of her downline. It was terrible, but it was so Cheyenne and
yes. Mateo. It was like a Mary Kay
yep.
type one. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, Lucy May.
Yeah. But it was makeup yep. cosmetics. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, and she convinced Garrett to try that hand cream stuff. And then for the rest of the episode, like, everyone's like, why do I smell Hawaiian punch over here? Or they're all in the break room. They're like, what's that fruity smell? And the Indian guy's like, I'm on to you, but I'm not going to say it. And then they're all like, seriously, where's that fruit guy? Oh, come on. We all know that it's him. It's Garrett, okay?
He's like, we all know who it is, but what we don't know is why.
And you did not watch Perfect Harmony?
I have not, no.
I will tell you, this one was a good one. Kripke from Big Bang Theory, you know, that guy.
Yeah, familiar.
He shows up as Arthur's arrogant friend from the same college.
Oh, okay.
So, like, right in the opening, he walks into the diner, and he's classic Arthur. Like, at one point, he's like, look, I'd stick around, but I left my car unlocked, and pretty much everyone in this place looks like they could teach a master class in hot wiring, so I'm going to go.
Why is he there?
He is there because he wants Arthur to, at first he was making it sound like he was going to give Arthur his job back, like get him his job teaching at Princeton again.
Yep.
And basically, no, it's the opposite. He's there for Arthur to sign a letter apologizing for his behavior and, being a dick at Princeton.
Yeah, happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Probably the funniest part of this was they were trying to do a hemathon so that they could afford lodging at the regionals that they're going to. So they're doing a live stream for 24 hours where they sing songs. And they had it set up so that on your screen you could see like the little chat fields and you could see the likes and the hearts floating up.
Nice.
And
I say nice because I feel like,
dude,
it's going to be
like
bad.
Some of the stuff was funny. Like people would make weird requests. But the biggest one that kept coming in over and over again was women were requesting that the big guy with the deep voice say their name.
Nice.
Like, say, I'll give you $5 if you say my name. And he's like, Jessica. And then, like, it evolved to the point where it was like, I'll give you $20 if you say my name in a disapproving tone. So he's like, Rebecca, 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 what am I going to do with you? And then, like, the hearts are flowing in.
That's funny.
It was great.
What do we got next?
Well, that takes care of the half-hour shows.
No Doctor Who this week.
Witcher episode 7.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I forget that
because you
didn't catch up. Yeah,
yeah. This was the one where we're just about caught up. We get to see Geralt go back and claim his child of surprise, but he's not really going back to claim the child of surprise. He's basically going back to make sure that the kid is safe. Yeah,
again, the timeline's jumping around. We're now back prior to the events in episode 1, but just prior to them.
Yep. So he basically says, I just want to make sure that the kid is safe and he's loved and he's cared for, and then I'm fucking off. And they're like, no, it's a girl. And he's like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
And so he goes to the queen and he's like, look, give her to me.
Yeah.
I've got to keep her safe. Her mother's dead. And the queen's like, I've been raising this kid. You go fuck yourself.
And Calanthe is very arrogant.
Oh, extremely arrogant.
Yeah.
And even to the point where, like, they ask her husband, and he's like, I'll ride next to her, and I'll fight next to her, and I believe in my queen, and I'm going to do whatever.
Yeah.
So she finally agrees because, you know, destiny, and they're like, she's like, fine. So she goes and gets another girl who's about the same age and poses her as Ciri and says, oh, here she is, Geralt. And he recognizes immediately, like he follows her into town and she's playing with some kids and he sees the real Ciri with her hair covered up and everything. And he's like, and he goes back to Cleanthe and he's like, you're
lied
a liar again. And so she throws him in the dungeon.
Yeah. And so through this whole raid, he's imprisoned,
which we didn't even realize in the first episode when we watched it.
And then he gets which he gets himself out of prison and goes off. But of course, as soon as the queen's dying, everything is going off, she's like, go find Geralt. He'll protect you. You should have just fucking sent him on to begin with, the arrogant bitch.
Right. She told Mousesack to go get him.
Yeah.
He's like, get him out of the dungeon. It's time. And he goes down there and he's like, he fuckered off.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone.
He got out.
And she's like, oh, well then, all right, you go poison everybody, and you try to defend people. Ciri, run away and go find Geralt.
Yeah, do your best.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah, we had him, but, you know.
I gotta go jump out of a window.
Funny story. So, yeah, and then Yennefer met back up with the old flame, ha ha ha, and basically, you know, she tells him to fuck off because he's like, you made your choice of what you loved, and what you loved was power.
Yep.
So she goes back and meets the next class of girls and kind of tries to give them a hard knocks, like,
yeah,
here's what life is. And then she goes, the headmistress there is like, some girls need this, you know, just because you don't like it doesn't mean that it's not necessary for everybody. So knock it off. They meet with the Wizards Council, and the Wizards Council is like, hey, Nilfheim might be a shit town right now and not be invading if you had gone with them like you were supposed to. But because you messed with things, my niece had to go over there, and now they're super powerful and they're going to invade. So that's on you.
Yeah, it's not on us to stop them. If you had done your job to begin with, we wouldn't be here, basically. Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, we basically, this is all the culmination. The next episode is the last one of the season, and that's basically going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
Did you, by the way, watch the first episode of season 2 of Sex Education that came back?
I did not.
I did.
Was it?
It was great.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Did you watch the whole first season?
I did. I just thought it was okay.
I liked it.
Yeah.
This one picks up pretty much where the last one left off. You know, Maeve has been expelled. Except, what's his name there? Oh, God, I can't even think of the main character there.
Yeah. Gillian Anderson's son.
Yeah. He got an erection at the end of last season because, you know, he had been having such a hard time. I remember his mom was like, I noticed that you've been faking masturbating.
Yeah, well, I thought that was funny.
Now he's real masturbating, and he never stops. We get a montage of him masturbating constantly. Like, the woman on the bottle of shampoo, and he's in a movie theater watching a movie. He's watching Flash Gordon. And when the women first come up to Flash Gordon, and they start, like, running their hands along him.
Those girls are hot.
Yeah, oh yeah. He has to excuse himself, go into the bathroom, and rub one out. Like, he has become a masturbating machine. And then at school, everybody is freaking out because a couple of kids got chlamydia. And so they're all wearing, like, half of them are wearing paper masks, like, you know.
Japan style?
Yeah. Yep. And he goes in and he's like, you can't catch it through the air. It has to be through sexual contact. And they kind of do a little investigative work to figure out, because they know that these two girls had it, and they claim that they got it from this girl who, like, used the same whistle as them in chorus. But
yeah, it doesn't really work that way.
So he tells the two girls, he's like, make a list of every guy that you've slept with, and we'll compare it. They find one guy on there, and it's that black jock from the first one that was into Maeve. And they confront him, and he's like, nope, it's not me. They're like, can you prove it? And he goes, yeah. And he pulls out his phone, and he's got his test results. And he's like, I got tested. I'm clean. They're like, oh, shit. Well, Maeve makes her way back into the school because she sees her mom with the new baby sister. So she makes her way back into the school. And she's like, well, what about so-and-so? What do you mean so-and-so? Well, the guy that they're in chorus together with, they've both been sleeping with him secretly so that neither one of the other one knew about it. That's who your character is. Sure enough, yeah, he's the one that gave it to him, but he was too embarrassed to tell about it. So now they're back in business, and we're going to pick up where we left off. I like it.
Cool.
I think other than that, it's you.
Yep.
Did you watch either of the HBO shows?
Well, Avenue 5's not out yet, is it?
Came out last night.
Oh, so no, I did not watch Avenue 5. But I did watch the first two episodes of The Outsider.
Did you stay awake?
Yeah, why?
It's a very slow show.
I didn't have a problem. I got sucked in. I never had a problem staying awake at all.
Okay.
Yeah. I love the kind of... I should talk about it now, I guess.
Yeah.
So the first episode I thought was phenomenal.
Oh, the whole setup in the beginning of them doing the interviews and then arresting him. And
you know, they arrest Jason Bateman's character. I'm terrible with names, apparently. I don't know. I guess I'm not as big of a fan as I thought. Who knows? He's not even in the main cast listing, of course not, because he dies at the end of the first episode.
What?
What? Jason Bateman's character?
It's because he's directing.
Yeah, Terry Matland.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, so, like you talked about last week, you know, you have the local town, you know, everyone knows who he is, he's a teacher, he's a baseball coach, kid's body turns up.
Yep.
And through the course of the investigation, they find that this guy, Terry Maitland, must have killed him, and they arrest him.
Because they have an overwhelming amount
of evidence. They have fingerprints. They don't have DNA back yet. At the point when they arrest him, they get it back at the end of the episode. They have fingerprints. They have witnesses that saw him. This van he was in. Multiple witnesses. They got videotape of him. On and on and on and on and on. And ultimately, they arrest him in front of the town at the middle of a baseball game.
On purpose.
Yes, because he wants everyone to see it. And
Ben Mendelsohn, great actor.
Oh, excellent, yeah. So then, you know, his lawyer shows up, this, that, and everything, and they discover that Terry was out of town. He was at a conference with two other teachers in reference to banned books. It was on the local public access channel. They have videotape footage that the time he was on TV asking a question about Slaughterhouse-5 and Odyssey or the Iliad or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's when the kid was being murdered. And they have evidence that they have his fingerprints off a book, an old book in the gift shop that no one ever, you know, that people don't buy, but he touched it. They have the security footage of him at the conference. They have everything. You know, the two people that were with him, where they went to here, went to had lunch, did this, went to this conference, went back to their rooms, went back to the dinner, went to this other conference, yada, 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 this whole thing. And so by the end of the episode now, there's strong evidence that he didn't do it. And then there's all the strong evidence that he did do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, is this a twin? Is it some sort of weird doppelganger?
And you know that it's based on a Stephen King book, so you're like,
well, so,
is this the dark half?
Right. So obviously by the end of the second episode, we have a ton of, I don't know if you want to call it supernatural, paranormal, not paranormal, but supernatural, or just definitely the path that's going down. Because I did not expect him to die at the end of the first episode.
Right.
Because you had the kid that got murdered, his brother.
Older brother,
which he should have waited until they got closer. I mean, they were walking right to him.
I know.
Comes out of the crowd and just starts shooting. And he shoots two cops that weren't wearing vests for some dumb reason. Shoots a third.
Escorting a prisoner.
Yeah.
Through a crowded area.
Shoots a third cop in the leg, the pregnant female cop. But that makes sense. You don't wear body armor in your leg. And then shoots Bateman's character in the neck, and it kind of nicks his artery, so he bleeds out slowly. And then eventually, you know, Ben Mendelsohn's character, the detective there, Anderson,
that was a cool camera shot.
He goes
down on his knee, and he fires, and, like, the kids kind of get the camera right over his shoulder.
Yeah.
So we get to see, like, the head explosion kind
of. Well, the back of his head blow up. Yeah. Big hole in the back of his head blow open.
Yeah.
But the kid takes a shot in the shoulder, fires off another shot, the one, the kill shot on Maitland, and then takes one round in the head. And here's the thing, like, I didn't catch it straight away, and I'm trying to remember the time frame in it, but the kid who died, his dad is talking to the coroner. And he said, the mortuary guy says, oh, and he's recommending caskets and this and that. And he goes, and of course, seeing as you have to buy two, I'll give you 20% discount on embalming. And then you see the guy's head whip around. I'm like, two? And I'm like, oh, what happened to the mom? And then they cut to the scene where the kids start shooting at everybody. So it's like, fuck, that was kind of cool the way they did that. Yeah.
Yeah, a little out of sync.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and again, I watched the two episodes back to back, so I might be merging some
data.
That's
fine. I've seen three of them now, so.
Well, I've,
there was a new one last night.
I want to watch the third one, but I didn't want to watch it in front of the kid today.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know.
Interesting character in the third episode.
Oh, good. So, and then the dad hangs himself, but he didn't die, but he's brain dead, basically. Oxygen was coughed to his brain for 10 minutes. He's never waking up. But there's no family to say they can harvest his organs or do anything to him. So it's really good. It's really interesting. It's really well done. It's a good script. It's a great story. Lots of great tension. And then we keep seeing this hooded guy in the background who looks like he has a melted face. Maybe he's wearing a mask. Maybe he isn't. And then all these other little clues that keep coming up, like, the van that was used to kill the kid was stolen from New York. It has Terry's old plates on it. But the van was taken by this 12-year-old who joyrided it to Ohio, left it in Ohio, and stole another vehicle from there. Well, as it turns out, the vehicle was in Ohio at the same time that Terry and his wife and family were there in Dayton, Ohio, because they were visiting Terry's dad, who's in, like, a home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they found out that the van had been left at this restaurant, and they were in the same mall the restaurant was in. So, all these, you know, these kind of little things, and
see, there's some things that happened in the third episode that I'd love to speak to right now, but I'm holding off.
And then you have the daughter who is almost like she like, it's like she's in a trance, yelling at some guy that was scaring her to leave. But, like, when someone touches her or shakes her, she kind of wakes up and he's like, oh, he's gone now. He was in here. I told him not to be. I, you know, it's good stuff. This is a limited series, right? It's only like, oh, it's 10 episodes. That's actually more than Witcher. Witcher's 8.
I have to say this, too.
Yeah.
I know you've got a full plate. However.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, legitimately.
Yeah.
Now that you have some access to HBO.
Yeah.
You really owe it to yourself to go back and watch Watchmen.
Well, okay, I will
Where I know it's a hard sell because it's 10 episodes or an hour each.
Where I want to watch Avenue 5.
Yeah.
And I'm watching The Outsider. Yep. And that's why I'm thinking about ditching Good Doctor and New Amsterdam.
Avenue 5 is half an hour.
Mm. Perfect.
Yeah. Just throwing that one out there.
Did you watch the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think my wife would like it?
Mm.
Okay.
It's okay. It's so far, it's not.
Sorry.
So far, it's not like phenomenal, but it is. It's entertaining and it's funny. Like watching Hugh Laurie with an English accent, and then when
watching Hugh Laurie talk normal.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say when the shit starts hitting the fan and he starts freaking out and yelling at people, he switches over and they're all like, "Excuse me, what just happened? What do you mean? I was just yelling." And they're like, "No, no, no. What happened to your voice? I'm sorry, I got a little loud." "No, no, 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 no. Are you Australian? God, don't be Australian. Please don't be Australian." "No, I'm British." "Oh, that's even worse." That's mint. But yeah, your wife might like it. It's fun.
Sorry, I want to go back.
Yes.
I do too, man. All the time. I want to go back to The Outsider.
Oh, okay.
So in episode two, mm-hmm. we see after one of the episodes the daughter has, they show you a pile of something on the floor. I don't know what it is. Slime, goo, water. It's hard to tell. It's so dark. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the episode, you have this farmer, I guess, is in a barn, and you see the clothes that Terry was wearing when he was last seen on video after murdering the kid, like this new shirt, pants, his big belt buckle thing. You see the pile of clothes. It's very distinguishable clothes so that you would recognize it. Laying there, and there's this goo kind of hanging, slime, whatever it is. Kind of reminded me of, like, shapeshifters, whenever you see them, like, on Supernatural or X-Files, you know. I thought that was interesting. That, and they talked about Roanoke Island. They talked about a couple other instances like that or similar to that of people disappearing without a trace or strange occurrences. So,
what I will say is that the third episode picks up immediately at that barn with the police investigating, collecting evidence, etc.
Okay. Cool. Well, I look forward to that.
Those come on Sunday nights, so what I'll do is I won't watch the fourth episode. And then next week we could talk about the third one.
Okay.
That way we're not, like, front-loading too much Sunday night stuff.
Right.
I mean, we're already doing Doctor Who, but, you know, we had today off, so I was able to
watch
some extra stuff. But honestly, like,
normally we wouldn't have, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So next week we'll talk about episode three.
Yep.
And then we can talk about the next two episodes of Doctor Who. Catch up on Doctor Who, so.
Yep.
The wife and I watched, and I forgot to talk about it last week, but because we watched it back in the week before. Maybe I talked about it. I don't know. But we watched all three episodes of the Netflix docuseries Don't Fuck With Cats.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had no interest in that just because I read the premise behind it.
Yeah, well, it's actually, you don't see what he did to the cats, thank God. He put them in one of those vacuum seal bags and then vacuumed the air out of it. And one, I mean, he did some other stuff to him, but I mean, that was the first video.
Right.
I recommend watching it. If you like crime podcasts or whodunit podcasts or any of the Dateline NBC stuff, this is like dialed up quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it's yeah. When you watch all three episodes, about an hour a piece, and you watch the end, you're just going to be like, It's going to feel like it's made up. It's going to feel like this didn't fucking happen. Like, this is just, and if you don't want to know about it, or you're not going to watch it ever, when we get done recording, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, it's just, it doesn't seem real.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like, it legit, you feel like you're watching a fictional murder mystery, the way the end ties together and how things come out and the way it's revealed.
Okay.
As opposed to, this actually happened. Because it seems way too far-fetched to be real.
Gotcha.
It seems more like this was like someone's imagination, and instead it's like, fuck, that really happened. Like, it's just, yeah. Yeah. I can't give it justice the way they tied everything together. And like this killer's plan from the beginning to the end is so elaborate. It just seems like this is fiction.
Okay.
But it wasn't. It was I give it a good sell, actually.
Okay.
When you said we watched all three episodes on Netflix, I thought you were going to say Dracula.
I have not watched any of Dracula yet.
I still have watched all of it.
Yes. So. No, I have not watched any of Dracula. Honestly, it's an hour and a half per episode, and it's kind of felt a little daunting lately. And then,
there's three episodes.
I know, hour and a half per episode.
Yeah.
It's 4.5 hours of TV. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you know, The Outsider is 10 episodes an hour each. That's 10 hours of TV.
Okay, yes.
That's two and a half. I get that,
but sitting down to watch a movie, which I did watch a couple movies, but, like, finding the time alone at night, like, for instance, when you leave, I have no problem with watching a 45-minute episode of a TV show and then going to bed. But to watch an hour and a half movie, too daunting. That's what I'm getting at.
Gotcha.
That and just the way everyone has said the first episode is so slow and sucks so bad. It's basically what you've already seen before. It's kind of hard to, like, I'm going to sit down and watch what I've already seen a bunch of times. Especially when you gave it a, like, I couldn't stand this.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe when I'm doing some schoolwork at some point, I'll have it running while I'm doing schoolwork. But I kind
of
like to
the first. The first hour of the first episode could be a background show, honestly. Yeah.
I'll get there eventually.
So for shows, the only things that I've got left are You and The Crisis.
Okay. Movies? Did you watch any movies?
Kinda.
Yeah.
I watched the first hour and 20 minutes of Bumblebee.
Isn't it, like, not much longer than that?
No, it's almost 2 hours.
Did you not like it?
I had something else to do. I had to go in town, so I hit stop and... Then, like, today I went, oh, that's right, I never went back to finish that, huh? It didn't blow me away. It was definitely not a typical Michael Bay Transformers movie.
But didn't it have, like, the Transformers as we knew them?
Yes. Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Soundwave shouting out, Ravage, eject, and then ejecting Ravage to go after Optimus Prime.
Same voice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Optimus Prime looked like our Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that was
Cliff
great.
Jumper as Cliff Jumper.
But the story sucked.
I mean, it's a prequel, so you know everything that's going to happen. We get to see why Bumblebee can't talk. You know how they said that his voice thing was damaged? Well, no, in this version, he's fighting, maybe it's Starscream, I don't think it really is, but it's a jet fighter. And the jet, like, has him by the throat and is like, tell me where Optimus Prime is, where is he? And he's like, no, because he can talk. He's like, no. And he goes, you won't talk, huh? Well, let's see if we can make that permanent. Like, stabs this blade into his throat area and pulls out the voice box and then just drops it.
So, a little different.
Yeah. So it wasn't that it was damaged. It's that it was removed.
Can't he just get a new one?
You would think so.
I mean, like, they built new Transformers. And
yeah. You'd think so.
Seems like that's a very repairable issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was kind of weak. But then again, I always thought Bumblebee's gimmick in the Michael Bay movies was weak. You know, he can't talk except for through music. Well, this is how he learned to talk through music. She introduced him. And she put a Smith's tape in his tape player that she installed in him. And as soon as it started playing, like 30 seconds in, he ejected it, fired it across the room. She's like, okay, not a Smith's fan. What about you? You watch any movies?
Yeah. So I watched one on Netflix called Triple Threat.
Okay.
It's technically a Netflix original, but not really.
Okay.
It stars Tony Jaa, Iko Uwais, and Tiger Chen. Tiger Chen is the guy
one
that...
One of the Triple Threats?
No, yeah. But he is, if you watched... okay. Tiger Chen's the guy that Keanu Reeves learned all his stuff from Matrix and John Wick and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiger Chen's pretty damn good at it himself. Also in it is Scott Atkins, who's been in everything lately.
Okay.
Michael Jai White, Michael Bisping, a couple other people. It was a good movie. I liked it. Basically, the plot is bad guys trick good guys into helping them release batter guy, who then kill everybody. And now the three, Equal UAs, Tony Jaa, and Tiger Chen, the three good guys that were duped by the bad guys, want their revenge. And there's a girl that needs to be saved as well along the way, who's they're trying to assassinate. And a lot of great fights, a lot of great action in it. It's about an hour and a half. It's worth your watch if you like good martial arts movies.
Cool.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I took my son to the movies on Saturday night to go watch 1917.
How was it?
Didn't watch it.
That good, huh?
About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I went online. There was 2 tickets sold in the theater. I said, oh, fuck it. People might be going with us, maybe not. I don't know. We showed up for the 6:40 showing. Sold out except the front row. So I went, well, that sucks. I'm not sitting in the front row.
As well you shouldn't.
And Johnny was there and Kanan and this and that. And I just said, so do you want to go see another movie? We can go see Bad Boys for Life. Please God, no. We can go see.
Although I've heard that it's really good.
So I named off a couple other movies. Like, we can go see this or we can go see that and this and that. And Kanan just goes, well, can we go see Star Wars again? And I went. And Johnny goes, oh, I haven't seen it yet. That'd be nice. I was like. 3 for Star Wars. So we went and saw Rise of Skywalker. But here's the best part. That started at 6:30. It was already 6:35. So we just missed out on a bunch of crap previews.
So remember how we were talking earlier about the problem with text interpretation?
Yep.
So I'm going to read you what I got for your messages that day.
Okay.
Because you were mentioning that about... how you weren't able to get in there because of the tickets being sold out.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it up on my phone. Feel free to talk about the other movie that you watched.
So we watched, I watched a couple documentaries the wife and I did on Netflix, on Amazon. They're okay. But one of the things that we watched that really stood out, you have it up?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead with it.
So you said, I checked 1917 earlier today, 2 tickets sold. Next message. We get here and only front row is available. Next message. So we seeing Star Wars again?
Oh, I was supposed to say we are.
So I thought you were asking me, so are we going to see Star Wars again? And I legitimately started responding. I'm like, dude, I'm not leaving the house. And then I'm like, well, wait, maybe he's talking about when the special edition comes out. Like maybe he sees a poster for it there. And so he's saying, you know,
all right, apologies.
Extended. And then I was like, no. He's going to see Star Wars again. Stop reading into this.
Did you watch any other movies?
No.
Okay. So we watched... It's on Amazon. I was very excited to find it was on Amazon. I mean, yeah, on Amazon Prime. Super Size Me 2, Holy Chicken.
Is this the one where he wanted to open his own chicken place?
No, it was a chicken
raising place. Chickens?
Yes.
Okay.
It is awesome.
Is it?
Yes, because it's, you know how he always goes above and beyond like what his topic is and really just encompasses everything? I can't give this enough credit to explain everything, but it's funny.
Okay.
And it's worth your watch.
Okay.
It's worth a watch. I really, if you like Super Size Me or 30 Days or any other stuff he's done, you'll definitely like this as well. Essentially, he decides he's going to open his own fast food restaurant. And he wants to see... if fast food industry has got, it's changed any since his documentary came out. Not that he's saying his movie was the catalyst, but since he made his movie, have things changed? Have things gotten better? And essentially it's no. So he decides that he's going to open his own restaurant.
Okay.
He decides that he's going to serve chicken. He does this market study stuff. He goes to see all these specialists. I mean, we find out that there's not just big oil and big tobacco. There's big chicken as well. Someone from Big Chicken sends a letter out about him saying, hey, he's trying to, because he wants to buy and raise his own chickens to sell at his restaurant as well. And it's really fascinating. He goes into a deep dive into things. You know, he talks about how you can get something USDA certified. It basically doesn't mean shit.
I had heard that as well.
You know, like cage-free. Just means they're not in cages, but they're still enclosed in the big house. free range doesn't mean they're outside the whole time just doing whatever they want. It means they have the option to go outside if they want to, but they don't have to. And essentially, to be free range compliant, you just have to have a large enough space where they can go outside if they want to. Not all at once, just one or two. It's technically free range. Hormone free?
Sounds like lawyers really worked on this stuff.
Hormone free?
Mm-hmm.
It is illegal to put hormones in chickens.
So bragging about hormone free just means we're not breaking the law.
Yeah. Like things like that. Local just means that it's there now. It doesn't mean anything beyond that. Like all these words that they use to describe the stuff that they put on packaging, this, that, and everything. It's all, they call it the halo. Like when you go look at the menu and you have the Baconator, but on each side of the menu beside the Baconator, they have like the salad and the grilled chicken sandwich, putting it in a food halo that, oh, it doesn't look so bad. all this term, this technology, like you can't say it's a fried chicken sandwich. That sounds bad. It's a crispy chicken sandwich.
That's very true. Yeah.
He sells a grilled crispy chicken sandwich. Oh, would you like our grilled crispy chicken sandwich? It's grilled crispy. Yeah, it's grilled crispy. Well, how do you do that? Well, you deep fry the sandwich and then you throw it on a panini press and press it real quick. So now it's technically been fried and grilled. So it's a crispy grilled chicken sandwich. And to go even further, we're going to go ahead and paint some fake grill lines on it with the charcoal dust, the food-based charcoal dust, to give it that look like it's been grilled.
Gross.
They pointed out something I never thought of before. Subway's oven-roasted chicken breast has fake grill marks on it.
Oh, I've noticed that for a while.
I've never thought of that.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is like rubbery.
It's oven roasted chicken, but it has fake grill marks on it. I mean, he really gets into all that stuff. Plus, like how Tyson Chicken Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have their farmers. They have to buy chickens from all these farmers. However, the way it works is it's like a tournament style. So you have all these farms. These farmers aren't getting their own chickens, raising their own chickens, feeding the chickens what they feed them, and then selling them to Tyson and this and that and everything. No, Tyson gives them the chicks and then gives them the food to feed them. And then that's it. So where male chickens grow faster than female chickens and bigger, so if they get a big batch of all kinds of female chickens, and if the chickens are going to be smaller no matter what, if they get grain that's stale, the chickens are not going to be as healthy no matter what. I mean, and these farmers can't do anything. I mean, it really goes a deep dive into that I can't do it justice. Once he opens his restaurant, it's absolutely hilarious. All this stuff that he's been talking about all episode, he brings it together. I mean, it's amazing. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Now, did it change you in any way? Like, did it make it so that you don't want to eat at certain places?
No, not really. As much as it just pointed out, like, kind of the hidden meanings of things, I guess.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, when you go and why they have the marketing the way they do, why they have things instead of weather, why it's not called a fried chicken sandwich, it's called a crispy chicken sandwich. Why, you know, it really got into a lot of things like that, which was interesting. I hadn't eaten like that oven roasted chicken at Wendy at Subway in forever because, well, like you said, it's kind of flimsy and it looks weird and doesn't look like chicken. It was fascinating. It was really good. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I liked his last one.
I think you would enjoy it. It's on Amazon Prime for free. So I think you'd enjoy the hell out of it.
Okay.
I only watched one other movie.
What's that?
Gemini Man.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I got it off the Redbox. My wife actually wanted to watch it.
Paid money for that?
Well, she had $1.25 off your rental. So yeah, I paid 54 cents.
That's still too much, dude.
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Kate liked it as well. Actually did a really good job with it. Story was interesting. Action was good. Fight scenes were cool. The CGI was pretty blatant.
Yeah. But it looked it in the trailer.
Yeah, it didn't look much better in the movie. But action was good. Fight scenes were good. Story was actually really good. I enjoyed it.
Interesting.
It's I
did not expect that.
I wouldn't say, oh, this movie is so great, I'm going to buy it and watch it again and again and again. I may never watch it again my entire life.
Okay.
But I don't feel like I wasted my time watching it. And I would say, hey, you should give it a watch.
Okay. I may. I wasn't sold on the trailer. And then everything that I saw in reviews and such just didn't give it anything redeeming. So, I don't know.
I liked it.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. What about you? We got some news and trailers to talk about?
Yeah. Yeah, you are correct, sir.
Go ahead.
Trailers, we had some interesting ones this week. I'll go down through some of the basics. Bloodshot, Vin Diesel.
Yep.
Guy who just keeps getting rebooted over and over again.
Based on a Valiant comic. It's actually a decent comic. Trailer looks good.
Yep. I like the Johnny Cash in there.
He's got, like I guess, nanites or whatever it is.
They can rebuild him.
That rebuilds him. And, like, when he gets shot, they open up and then come right back together.
Yeah. Yeah. The effects look awesome. Saw the newest trailer for Stargirl.
Yep.
The one that's coming to the CW after it's on the DC. It's like DC, then the next day it's on CW, then the next day it's on CW Seed.
Yep.
The interesting thing about this is they actually showed like the origin where she finds the staff of the whatever it is, staff of the cosmos. And we get to see that, you know, the Injustice League took out the Injustice Society took out the Justice League. And her uncle, who is Luke Wilson, which is a weird thing to think about for a DC show that we're going to have a star power like that.
Yeah.
He tells her that the staff is only supposed to respond to Starman. And we get to see Starman, and who's playing Starman, apparently in a recurring role, you know, even though he's dead or gone or something like that, is Joel McHale.
Really?
Yeah. So it looks decent. I will definitely check it out. Because the interesting part about it is, like I said, it's going to be on the DC streaming service first. So I don't know if it's going to match up with the, I guess we could spoiler say, new Earth Prime type thing.
Well,
I don't know. You sent Lovebirds the trailer over to me.
Okay. I don't know about you. But Kumail Nanjiani is fast becoming one of my favorite actors. I mean, I'd heard about him before in little bit parts and everything, and then he was in the X-Files reboot. The new X-Files episodes we got where he played like the dog catcher in that one episode, and he was awesome in it, or the pet store owner, whatever it was. But holy crap, does this look hilarious?
See, I saw him in Silicon Valley as well.
Yeah.
All the seasons of that. He plays a great character in that.
Yeah.
And also, he was on The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail.
Yeah.
He was on a podcast with his wife, Emily, for the longest time called The Indoor Kids, where they talk video games and stuff.
He did a podcast called The X-Files Files.
Yep. Yep. So I've liked this guy for quite a while, but you're right. His star is really
on the rise. Oh, yeah. Right now. A young couple is pulled into a bizarre and hilarious murder mystery, working to clear their names and solve the case. They need to figure out how they and their relationship can survive the night. It looks awesome.
It looks awesome because basically this guy commandeers their car, says he's a cop, and that a suspect is getting away.
Yeah.
Chases him down with a car, then runs him over, then backs over him, then runs him over, then back. Like, does this five or six times. And then takes off and leaves them there with the body.
And she's like, I don't think that guy was a cop. Yeah.
And then we've got like this valley girl and her hipster boyfriend who are like, oh my God, you totally killed this guy. And they call the cops on him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, now they've got to try to figure out what happened and clear their own names. It looks like a lot of fun. I can't wait for that.
It looks really, really good. It looks really funny in the trailer. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to murder her name, but the girl that's opposite is Issa Rae.
Okay.
I guess it is. I'm not really familiar with much of what else she's been in. She was on something called a Black Lady Sketch Show, a TV show called Insecure. Killing Lazarus. Okay. Yeah, she was in some stuff I'm not really familiar with going down through her IMDb here, but looks good in this movie.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Saw the trailer and I shared it with you, I think, for the new High Fidelity show on Hulu.
Yeah, watching the trailer, it doesn't make me go, oh, man, this is going to be amazing. It makes me go, I'll check this out.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting to be like, yes! Watching it, I was like, all right, well.
I watched the High Fidelity trailer of the John Cusack movie after, just because. Mm-hmm. And I went, yeah, that makes me want to watch the movie. Mm-hmm. This trailer does not make me want to watch this show.
Nope.
And the main reason why I'm going to check it out is because of the movie.
Right.
Because I enjoyed the hell out of the movie with John Cusack and Jack Black and everything.
Yep. So. Interesting trailer for Dispatches from Elsewhere.
Yeah.
With Jason Segel. The Wikipedia is very vague. It just says it's an upcoming American drama television series created by and starring Jason Segel that's set to premiere on AMC March 1st. The series, filmed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, follows a group of ordinary people who stumble onto a puzzle hiding just behind the veil of everyday life. They will come to find that the mystery winds far deeper than they ever imagined.
All right, so this synopsis I read is, four ordinary people feel that there's something missing in their lives, but they can't quite put their finger on what it is, are brought together by chance, or perhaps by its design, when they stumble onto a puzzle hiding just behind the veil of everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
As they begin to accept the mysteries, dispatches from elsewhere, challenges, they come to find that the mystery winds deeper than they imagined. Yeah. And their eyes are open to the world of possibility and magic. So it's a little different. It's Jason Segel. I'm going to at least give it a try.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, yeah.
And then we had what I consider not only the best trailer of the week, but the best trailer I have seen in a while. For a movie I literally cannot wait to see.
Oh, what movie's that?
Guns Akimbo.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That, I didn't see that coming out of anywhere.
Dude, this came out of Sundance.
Yeah, like I hadn't heard anything about it though.
Plot. Miles spends his days in a dead-end job pining for his beautiful ex-girlfriend Nova. His mundane existence is turned upside down when he finds himself enrolled on a darknet website that forces complete strangers to fight in a citywide game of death so that their gladiatorial battles can be live-streamed worldwide to a fanatical audience. Contestants are chosen by a clandestine gang known as Schism, who handicap the weaker contestant to further stack the odds against them. Initially, Miles' lifetime of running from his problems pays off as he manages to elude his first opponent. But when Nova is kidnapped, he must finally stop running and overcome his fears to fight the girl he loves. Yeah, so Daniel Radcliffe is Miles. Samara Weaving is Nyx, the girl that he's supposed to be killing. This looks fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, the premise reminded me a little bit of that old movie called Series 7.
Okay.
It was basically the same scenario. I mean, it was called The Contenders.
Mm-hmm.
The film was presented as a marathon of American reality show called The Contenders, where six people picked at random from a national lottery are each given a pistol and forced to hunt and kill each other on camera. And so it reminded me of that initially, but a souped-up version that looks even funnier and hilarious. I mean, Daniel Radcliffe's got guns bolted to his hands.
Literally bolted to his hands.
Yes.
And they make sure to show you, like, he's trying to put on pants.
Trying to open a doorknob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With guns bolted to his hands, yeah. So he can't use his fingers to do fine. Oh, my God. This, I want to see, I hope they come out around the same time, because I would love to see a double feature of Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds and this one.
This would be a fun back-to-back to go see. Absolutely. That'd be a fun night at the movies. Did you see that Karen Gillian, I shared it with you, but she wants to star and direct in Batgirl?
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
I would, too. And I read a little bit on it. Basically, they were like, hey, if you could do anything with superheroes, what would you do? And she was like, I don't know. Batgirl's a redhead. I could do that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like this is something that she's been dying for.
Not like Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool.
Right. Yeah, she hasn't been a fan her whole life.
It's more like, I could pull that off. But I could get behind it.
You do?
I want to bring up something real quick before we delve into the last two shows, because that's what we're down to, right?
News. I got some news items.
Right.
Right.
But I mean, before we... Yeah.
Sure.
So I've been thinking about this quite a bit. You know the Marvel Netflix series? Because it's like, do I want to go watch Jessica Jones or not? Do I want to get back into it or not? Do I want to go back and watch Daredevil before they pull it? If they pull it off or whatever.
Right.
And it's a struggle because it feels so daunting. Because it's 10 hours, 1 hour each. Whereas...
13 hours.
Oh, yeah. 13 episodes. Yeah, sorry. And then it's like, but I'd go sit back and watch The Mandalorian again without issue.
Yep.
And it's not because I have a greater passion for that show over the other shows. It's because The Mandalorian is more like a regular TV show, whereas you sit down and you can watch one episode and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't feel the need to watch the next episode.
Well, they're all pretty self-contained for the most part.
And that's what it is. There, a lot of them are, yes, there is an overarching connecting story, but for the most part, they're standalone stories. Whereas all those Netflix shows, all those Marvel Netflix shows are essentially 13-hour movies.
Right.
They're not standalone stories. They're not adventures of the week. It's literally a constant, continuous flow of the same story over 13 episodes.
You are absolutely correct, sir.
And that's what makes them so daunting to watch. Like, I love Daredevil. Because it was new and fresh, it was different. The idea of going back and watching it, it's not like when I want to watch Firefly, I'll put Out of Gas on. I love that episode. That's my favorite episode.
God, it's the best episode.
It is.
Literally.
I'll go throw that on, and I've got my Firefly fix, you know? Mm-hmm. Or if I want to watch the movie, I'll watch that. But at least once a year, I watch the entire run. Whereas it's like, oh, I want to go watch Daredevil. What was my favorite episode of Daredevil? I have no idea. You know?
Maybe one of the first ones with the fight scene in the hallway?
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah. The first episode. Or like Daredevil season 2. Oh, I could watch the first half with all the Punisher stuff and then kind of skip the second half till the Punisher comes back at the end. Yeah, or what was it? The first half was the electric stuff and the second half was the Punisher stuff. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, they're not standalones. They're continuous stories. That's all. I was just thinking about that, and I just wanted to throw that, see what your thought process on it was.
No, I agree completely. You know, I think there's a number of shows, and it could also be slowing myself down to watch one episode at a time, but I think that there are a number. No. When it comes to action shows, you're right. It's so much better to sit down and be able to just watch a standalone.
Yeah.
Versus, like, You is one continual story.
Right.
But it's great the way that it's done that way because the whole story is about character development. It's about relationships. It's about the day-to-day lives of these people.
Yes.
Whereas The Mandalorian, we'd be bored to tears if we had to follow everything that he did every moment of every day.
Right. Yeah, we would be.
So.
Well, at the same time, though, with shit. All right, I lost my train of thought.
Okay.
I was agreeing with what you were saying. Action shows. Oh, with You, for instance, it is one continuous story, but, like, you know, the most recent episode we watched was him with the girl, with the young girl and the comedian. We'll get into that more later. Whereas the last episode was more him dealing with the guy he kidnapped and the guy that's basically blackmailing him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have a little bit of the extra story going on. So, I mean, it is kind of overarching, but like you said, we're seeing character development with these different characters and we're not seeing, like, we didn't really see much of love at all in the second episode. And in this episode, she's in there quite a bit, but not the whole episode. I don't know. Regardless, I don't know. Blah, blah, random stuff. What else you got for news?
They had already announced that they're doing a Rogue One spinoff show, a before Rogue One.
Yeah.
Cassian Andor.
Yeah.
And Diego Luna is going to play him. They have now confirmed that Alan Tudyk will be coming back as K2SO.
Oh, cool.
So
it's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah. So that's going to be a cool show to watch because it'll be before the events of Rogue One, obviously. I mean, it'd be hard to do it after the events of Rogue One. Sadness. But yeah, I could get behind that. The Continental is still moving forward. This is the Starz spinoff TV series that's based on the hotel from the John Wick
universe. Okay.
And they are doing it very carefully to make sure that it doesn't interfere with the movies.
Okay. How are they going to do that?
Don't know.
Oh, that didn't say that?
No, this was just somebody talking at one of the film critics' things. They were like, oh, yeah, it's still moving forward. We're being very careful. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You has been renewed for a third season.
Okay. I'm
excited about that.
Yeah.
I saw one spoilery thing in the announcement. I'm not going to say it, but when we get to the end here, I'll talk about it. Amazon's making a Jack Reacher TV series.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to... They haven't said if Tom Cruise is going to star in it.
They have not, I'm sure.
But they used his image when they talked about it.
Yeah, because that's the only one that people have other than the books.
Right.
The CW has already given a full order to Lois and Superman.
Yep. I'm excited about that.
I am as well. There were some interesting news articles that I just didn't quite, like, I linked them up so that I could remember them.
But, yep.
So Amazon announces Citadel, a spy series from the Russo brothers starring Richard Madden and Priyanka Chopra.
Okay.
That's it. That's all they have on it. It's a spy series. They don't tell when it takes place. They don't tell what the main plot is going to be, but it's from the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They carry a lot of weight, kind of like if you and I saw something from Taika Waititi. You know, when
yeah.
they said Taika Waititi's getting a Star Wars movie, and we all went, oh, okay, he's done two episodes of The Mandalorian. All right. So that'll be interesting. I want to see more on it.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Remember how I had said that Fox lost Seth MacFarlane to NBC?
Yeah.
Got some more details here.
Okay.
First, the contract. According to The Hollywood Reporter, NBC lured MacFarlane away from Fox with a lucrative pay package that will see him earn $200 million over 5 years.
Holy, and might I add, fuck.
Yeah. I like how they put it, which works out to $40 million per year.
Great math, thanks.
The terms of the contract reportedly state that MacFarlane will make all kinds of new content for NBC through his Fuzzy Door production company while staying a free agent for any movie deals. He will also reportedly continue to act, which is cool. He'll reportedly make musicals, political dramas, historical anthologies, and animated shows for NBC, which then might be sold to outside companies like Netflix. MacFarlane is said to already have multiple projects in the works, with a report going on to claim that he is enthusiastic about making content for NBC's Sci-Fi network.
So, nothing about what's going to happen with Family Guy.
Nope. Despite his signing with NBC, MacFarlane will continue to work on Family Guy for Fox, The Orville for Hulu, and American Dad for TBS. That's all it says.
Wait, American Dad's on TBS now?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it switched networks.
It did. And I just got to say, honestly, I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it to you before. American Dad is way better than Family Guy now. It's so much fun.
I honestly haven't watched any of that stuff in a long time.
The first few seasons of American Dad are a little bit rough around the edges, but you could say that looking back on the first few seasons of Family Guy now, too.
South Park, Simpsons.
But legitimately, they have an ongoing Christmas thing. They had a Christmas episode of American Dad where Stan got Steve a gun, but it wasn't like a Red Ryder air rifle. It was a fully automatic gun. And Steve, he took him out back of a mall to have him shoot at a snowman. And behind the snowman was a mall Santa who was on break, and he got shot and killed. Well, turns out that was the real Santa.
Jesus.
So they do this thing every Christmas where Santa comes after the Smiths and tries to kill them in one way or another. And it's fucking phenomenal.
Actually, that sounds really good.
Yeah, I strongly suggest people, if you want something fun and animated and you're tired of Bob's Burgers, or, you know, you thought, oh, Family Guy was good, check out American Dad. It will not disappoint.
I just want to say this real quick. Family Guy premiered 20 years ago this month. 1999.
Canceled four times.
I mean, 21 years ago this month. And... you know, after, yeah, like, it had like a 3-year hiatus or whatever it was and then came back. But they've had 339 episodes.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, it really is. Anyways.
This one I'm really excited to report.
All right.
I'm not really reporting. I'm just telling you some stuff that somebody else reported. This is another one of those that came out of the Television Critics Association's Winter Press Tour. HBO Max. I don't know if you had known this, but they're getting a Green Lantern show.
No.
Yeah. So HBO Max is getting a Green Lantern show. The series is going to span several decades and focus on the origin story of two major Green Lanterns on Earth while linking it to the story in space and a Green Lantern favorite character, Sinestro.
Huh.
Yeah. They haven't said who it is, but you figure it's probably Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart.
Probably.
Two most popular.
Yeah. So, and Greg Berlanti is going to be heading it. Yeah. So, and again, I know we're starting to get into a little bit of spoiler, but at the end of Crisis,
yeah,
when we saw the clips from Green Lantern movie.
Yeah.
If it's going to be on HBO Max,
yeah,
could see something. I'm just saying. But that's going to be cool.
Nice.
I'm excited for that one. Peacock, the NBC service.
Yeah.
We got some actual solid details.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So they say that they're going to be launching with 15,000 hours worth of content available to stream. But today they announced there will be multiple tiers of service, only some of which will have access to the full library. Mm-hmm. So the two tiers include Peacock Free, which is an ad-supported plan that's available to anyone and will offer 7,500 hours of programming, including access to movies and classic TV shows. But if you want to see any of the service's original content, including shows like MacGruber, yes, they're actually doing a standalone MacGruber series, or Sam Esmail's new take on Battlestar Galactica, fuck yes, you'll have to shell out for Peacock Premium, which gives access to the full 15,000 hours of programming, including sports and, for the first time ever, early access to NBC's stable of late-night talk shows. Wank. Who cares? It sounds like every tier will give subscribers access to around 400 TV shows, including The Office, Parks and Rec, 30 Rock, Bates Motel, the original Battlestar Galactica, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Cheers, Covert Affairs, Downton Abbey, Everybody Loves Raymond, Frasier, Friday Night Lights, House, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, King of Queens, Married with Children, Monk, Parenthood, Psych, Royal Pains, Saturday Night Live, Superstore, The Real Housewives, Top Chef, Will and Grace. Interesting that Superstore is on there. I wonder if it's coming off Hulu.
I just see a lot of stuff come off Hulu.
It's quite possible. Plus, there will be over 600 movies available, including the Fast and the Furious films, Jason Bourne movies, Jurassic Park, Field of Dreams, The Big Lebowski, and more family-friendly content like E.T. and Shrek.
Although I will say this, on the NBC streaming app now, you have Superstore, and it's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. So it could just be on Hulu, and then all the previous seasons will be on the Peacock.
Now, this is where it also gets interesting, because you're going to start seeing this show up in the news in the coming months. Price-wise, Peacock Premium will be free to Comcast and Cox subscribers, which we are not.
No.
It will cost $4.99 for everyone else. Okay. There's also a tier of Peacock Premium, which costs $9.99 and is ad-free. So $5 for premium or $10 for ad-free.
Yeah.
It's pretty standard.
Yeah, Hulu is $5.99 for with ads, ad-supported, $11.99 ad-free.
Yeah. Interesting thing about the release dates. So, April 15th, 2020 for Comcast X1 and Flex customers, whatever the fuck they are. Everyone else will have to wait a full 3 months until July 15th.
Oh, wow.
So you'll start seeing people talking about Peacock coming April, and then July 15th is when we'll all have access to it.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And then the last thing I had to mention, because it's fucking cool as shit, Steve Martin and Martin Short are playing true crime obsessives in a new Hulu series. After spending the last few years tying a two-man show, Steve Martin and Martin Short, An Evening You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life, which, again, is phenomenal. The comedians are teaming up again for a new series. On Friday, Hulu announced that the pair would star in an as-yet-untitled comedy about three strangers who share an obsession with true crime and suddenly find themselves wrapped up in one.
If that third stranger is Chevy Chase.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. That's awesome.
It says right here, it's unclear at this point who'd be the third stranger, but we'd say there's probably a 50-50 shot it's Chevy Chase. Yeah. I will watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that's it for news for me. I guess what we got left is...
You and Justice. Well, Crisis.
All right, kick us off.
You. That was a show that was on this week. No, this one is mostly about Will or Joe, whoever you want to call him, and 40.
Yes. Yeah. I think this was the we need to humanize 40 because so far he's been nothing but the douche boss, entitled white guy. And Joe even calls him that a few times. You know, he's like the entitlement. I can smell it from here.
So Joe is obviously battling his attraction to love through this. Mm-hmm. And it's implied that
she's not making it easier.
Well, no, but it's implied that she leaves him like little like treats in his locker every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sees him like at one morning
And he's just like, oh, I'm just, my mouth's already watering, whatever it is. And there's nothing there. And then there's awkwardness between them.
Well, she's like, were you expecting something?
Yeah.
Huh. Isn't that weird?
Why did she turn like that?
Because...
Did I miss something?
No, he actually explained it pretty well right after that, is that basically she was doing all these gestures and he wasn't saying thank you. He wasn't showing appreciation. He wasn't reciprocating at all.
Okay.
She's making him these things from scratch, like tartlets and stuff. And he's just like, oh, this is so good. And then just living his life. You know, he's not doing anything in return for her, and okay, she's feeling slighted. And all I don't blame her, you know?
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So 40 kind of pops up, and him and Joe, they go hang out to go watch this comedian together. Turns out to be Henderson, which you find out in the last episode. Henderson allegedly raped Delilah. No, yeah, not Delilah. Yeah, Delilah's the older sister, Ellie's. Yeah.
Ellie's the younger one.
Okay. So they go see Henderson. He does his set. And then at the end of the set, he sees Ellie kind of able to get backstage or whatever it is to the after party. And he's like, what the damn hell? And 40 tries to go back there and he gets rebuffed.
Bad.
Pretty.
He's like, do you realize that guy used to be Henderson's weed dealer? Now he's like a bouncer?
Yeah. So 40 takes off. But
which was kind of weird. Like he was waiting for Joe,
yeah,
and then Joe like saw Ellie there, and he's like, "No, I'm going to hang around." Doesn't say that to him. Says that to us through
his
monologue, and then you know just kind of hangs out, waits for her.
We find out that 40 is a recovering addict of multiple different types of drugs and alcohol and
is all kinds of surprised?
Shit. Yeah, no. So Joe tries to basically check on Ellie, like, hey, are you okay? You know, like, how do you know this guy? And Ellie's like, well, you want to fuck a 15-year-old? This guy wants to fuck me.
Yeah.
Makes me hate that character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that she would do that. Now, granted, if she's trying to protect herself, like if he was making moves on her, sure.
Sure.
She would do the right thing. But in this case, she was just being an asshole.
Not this. Of course, we get... a follow-up to this where Delilah gets tipped off by somebody that Ellie was at that after party.
Yeah, she tries, she's like, yeah, one of the people in there is my informant.
Yeah, and she goes, well, what did Will tell you? And she's like, no, so-and-so is my tipster, you know.
But then goes right to Will and goes, so you knew about this and didn't tell me?
Why didn't you tell me? Yeah, so... Joe apparently put some spyware, you know, kid following software on the phone before he gave it to her.
Uh-huh.
Which, I don't know. That seems awful convenient.
But completely believable for him.
But believable for him, yeah. So essentially, he tries to get more dirt on Henderson. So he kind of lies. We get the montage of how he goes through social media and Twitter and looks at who... Henderson or Hendy, whatever, is commenting on this and that and everything. And he makes a connection to this, what's it called? Improv comedy guy who's kind of a douche max. And basically Joe goes and talks to him and he is Joe and lies his way into this guy. Come, you know, conveniently, oh, you going to his after party? Oh no, it'd be great to meet up with him. Oh, well, his code's dicks.
Yeah.
Get into the party.
Just give it to him.
Yeah. And the implication is supposed to be that Joe has been able to bluff his way through enough information to seem credible. Happened way too fast, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So Joe goes to the party, and 40 was trailing him. And he lets 40 into the party because he wants to present this movie pitch to Henderson. And he runs into Henderson's agent. What's her name?
Lindsay from...
Yeah, it's Lindsay. Sorry, Lindsay. It's Heather Donahue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lindsay
from You're the Worst.
And basically Lindsay, whatever, the agent listens to him. And eventually she's like, look, your shit, it sucks, okay? It doesn't matter what kind of shine you put on this turd, it's a turd, is basically what she says. Mm-hmm. So just be the rich, privileged white guy that you can be and just live your life and be happy.
Produce some things.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Produce it. Yeah, it's...
Bankroll other people. That's it.
She's not awful about it, but she's just truthful, very blunt.
Her voice, Heather Donahue has one of those voices that she can say
anything, yes. And she sounds sweet saying.
Yes, and that's what it is. That has a lot to do with it, probably. So, of course, 40 starts drinking probably some 40s.
Well, he does something.
Yeah.
Because Hendy even says to him at one point, like, oh, you shouldn't be drinking that if you're going to take
right.
a blow. And, yeah.
So Joe tries to look around the house to find dirt on Hendy. Can't find anything.
Well, he's looking specifically for his jack top.
Yeah.
Because he's been talking to the real Will, and they've been forming this, like,
bond. Yeah.
Over playing Hangman with Ketchup on the side of the wall.
Yeah.
And he tells him, he's like, look, you get me his jack top, because somebody like that, he's not going to keep any trophies on the cloud or on his regular laptop. He's going to have one single
right. computer. And I didn't get the jack top reference until literally just now. It's what he jacks off to. Mm-hmm. I get it now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the real Will, you know, who's trapped in the cage, Robin Lloyd Taylor, says, yeah, you get me a laptop and his jack top and I can hack him. And he's like, yeah, right. There's like 10 different ways that you could send an SOS in like a minute. Right. And Will's like, sure, I could teach you how to hack. Do you know Linux? Do you know this? Do you? And he's like, by the time I get done teaching you, she'll be of consenting age. It won't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So he begrudgingly gets him the jack top and the laptop. And he tells him, he's like, it's clean. There's nothing on here. And this was supposed to also kind of back up. We saw Henderson be a decent guy to 40.
Oh, super nice to 40. Like, hey, because Joe's trying to talk him down.
And he's waving a knife around. 40's got a knife, and he's like, ah. And Henderson comes in, and he's like, hey, man, no, you're great. You're awesome. And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to talk to you. And he goes, yeah, I can't wait to talk to you. Let's put something on the books.
Yeah.
And he's like, but why don't you get out of here? And he's like, no, I don't want to. So Henderson tanks his whole party.
Yes.
You know, he's like, you know what? All of you, I'm in my 30s. Get the fuck out of here. I'm tired.
I got to go to bed.
They all boo him. And he's like, yeah, fuck your privileged white asses. And they all leave.
And Joe even says in his monologue, is like, wow, he's tanking his whole party for a 40.
Yeah.
Like, Joe comes off as a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Hendy
does.
Yeah, Hendy does, yeah. So Joe brings 40 back to his place.
He texted Love, and he's like, I'm at a party with your brother, and he's fucked up. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Get him out of there now. She's pissed.
Right, so she brings back, he brings...
Oh, don't forget that in the meantime, before this party, he tried to do a grand romantic gesture for her.
Oh, but it wasn't supposed to be romantic. It was just supposed to be friendly.
Yeah, well, that's what he says, but we all know that the real Joe...
Right.
...has these ulterior motives.
But he doesn't want to hurt her, he doesn't want to get close, and she tries to kiss him, and he's like... pulls away, and then she gets pissed and leaves.
Which, again,
justifiable.
Don't blame her.
Yeah, it was a grand romantic gesture.
And that's what she says. She's like, these mixed fucking signals.
Yeah.
This romantic dinner where you know, it was based on 40's one successful film that he ever did called The Third Twin.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how when they were kids, they had to make their own breakfast, and it was this god-awful, like, she called them chilla wafers because you basically have hot cocoa. You put Nilla wafers in the cocoa until they get mushy. And then you, like, rip off a piece of this giant, like, cinnamon bun and squish it in between there. She's like,
you put the cinnamon bun in the cocoa and then put that between the two Nilla wafers or some shit
either,
like that.
Either way, she said, she's like, it's disgusting.
It is gross.
Inedible. Do not try this. But it is very sweet that you did this.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, she tries to kiss him, and he's like, no. And she's like, you're a fucking asshole. She's like,
justifiably.
You do this kind of stuff, which is romantic, and then you say it's not romantic. I'm not dealing with this shit. So, yeah, now we've got him taking
40. Joe brings 40 back to his place. Love shows up.
He says he doesn't want to go. He says, I'll take you to Love. And Joe's like, I'll take you to Love. And 40 says, I don't want to go someplace that's paid for by Quinn blood money.
So he brings him back to his place. Love shows up. But before then, even, before we go to this party, Joe finds Ellie after Ellie had gone to something else with Hendy. And she's
film screening.
Yeah, she's throwing up in a plant.
I like their little thing there. He's like, hey, you okay there? And she's like, why do you care? And he's like, I want to make sure the plants don't get overwatered.
Yeah. And basically she says that someone had some edibles there. She didn't know it. She ate a couple. Joe got pissed, yelled at the guy, da-da-da-da-da. Nothing happened.
Hendy,
yeah, sorry. Yelled at the guy, but nothing happened. But she does have some lost time in there.
Yep.
So Love shows up, takes care of 40, gets him in bed for the night, or the couch, whatever, if you will, and then her and Joe go fuck.
And this is where she first starts to show her weird side.
Yeah.
Because, like, she tells him, she's like, you need to be quiet. He's in the next room. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, oh. And she takes a sock and, like, stuffs it in his mouth. And she's like, I told you to be quiet.
And then, yeah.
And then she starts, like, oh. And then covers her own mouth and puts one hand on his throat.
He covers her mouth.
Oh, that's right. And she puts one hand on his throat.
Choking him while they fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, until they're done. And then he's like, wow, she's a little kinky. Speaking of kinky, episode ends with 40 telling Joe about Hendy's kinky sex room.
Yes. Yeah, because he says that he asked him what happened between the two of them. Oh, and he's like, I guess I just have to realize that now I'm part of a throuple.
Oh, yeah.
And he asks 40 what happened to the falling out. And he's like, I don't know. I just wish that I hadn't gone all exorcist on his secret sex dungeon. Joe's like, oh, sorry I missed that.
Yep. Well, yeah. So I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying the one episode a week method of watching it.
It's tough. When I went to get my hair cut the other day, talking shit with the lady who cuts it, and she was like, oh, I'm watching you. And I'm like, oh, I love that show. And she's like, yeah, I'm on like episode 7 of season 2. And I'm like, no fucking spoilers. And then the woman next to us is like, did you say you? I love that show. I just finished season 2. Oh, I'm on episode 7. I went, I'll fucking cut you guys. I will kill somebody if you spoil this for me.
I will kill a motherfucker. yeah, I'm enjoying the one episode a week.
I am too.
Yeah, it
gives me something to look forward to.
Because if not, I'd sit there and just, like, I was glad there was only 2 episodes of Outsider. Because, A, if the third one had been there, I was going to start it. And it was 2 a.m. Because I kind of got sucked in.
It's winter here. The snow is piled up. But I was feeling very antsy today. So I will walk this path in my room.
Yeah.
And I've got it down. It's about 11 steps the way that I take it in each direction. And I did that back and forth for an hour. I know it's an hour because my watch kept track of it, and because I started walking when I hit play for the third episode of The Outsider, and I stopped walking when the episode credits rolled.
That good, huh?
I was sore. I was sore.
But you were that sucked into it?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a good way to watch a show like that, so that you're not just sitting there staring blankly at it, but, you know, I was at least moving around. Yeah. But yes, I'm very much enjoying having one episode a week because it's really something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I know that it's going to end, and I know. Oh, I will say this too. I've started rewatching on Netflix Schitt's Creek because the 6th season is out on TV now.
Yeah.
And the first 5 are on Netflix. This show is a fucking riot.
Oh, really?
So you like Letterkenny. It's not the same, but it's the same low budget kind of entertainment. Eugene Levy and his son are fucking phenomenal. His son, who plays David on the show, is my favorite character. Like, I could watch an entire show just about David. But they're very rich people who have all of their assets seized. And the one thing that isn't seized from them is that they have the deed to a town, because they thought that it would be fun to give that to David on his, like, 14th birthday or something. And the town is called Schitt's Creek. And the mayor is Schitt. That's his name. And it's, I can't remember his name. Chris Elliott.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
It's a fucking riot. They're half hour episodes. They're not even half hour. They're like 21 episodes, 21, 22 minutes, 13 episodes per season. If you want a good laugh, your wife might even really enjoy this show.
Oh, good. I like a good half hour show, and we're always looking for something like that.
Catherine O'Hara is the mother, and she.
Oh, nice.
She has a million different wigs, so she's always wearing some kind of different wig. And it's another one of those, like, every week there's something new going on. So I strongly give that one a sell. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. So, Christ on Infinite Earths. Infinite Earths, part 4 and 5.
Yeah.
I've
got a lot of notes here.
Oh, good. That's good, because everything merges together with me. I watch them back-to-back.
Yep.
I'll just say, as a whole, I really enjoyed this crossover.
As did I.
I think it's the best one yet.
Yep.
I loved how it opened. I loved how it ended. I really enjoyed everything we had in the middle. The one thing that stands out to me the most that I hated was Lex Luthor just writing his name. Oh. And that's how he overtook Kingdom Come Superman. That is the big, like, jumping the shark, whatever you want to call it, moment that pissed me off the most.
Which tied into, I think the bigger problem that I had there was how easily he took the Book of Destiny.
Yeah, yeah.
And just
ripped the page out.
And manipulated it, knew exactly what to do, and just opened it up and was able to control Superman and kill Superman and, you know. And that was just the icing on the cake, that he ripped a page out and wrote his name in.
Yeah. Over these ancient symbols that recognized him writing his name.
Yeah.
Sure. The other issue I had with it, with this whole series, my number two thing that was the biggest issue for me was in part four, and you properly called it what it was, is when the Paragons did the Care Bear stare.
Dude,
to defeat the Anti-Monitor.
I'm looking at it and I'm like, right to my keyboard, I'm like, they're doing the Care Bear fucking stare.
Yeah. I'm like, so they win the day by staring, by looking longingly at Oliver and the Anti-Monitor fighting, and you're like, dude, it's the Care Bear stare. I'm like, oh my God, it is the Care Bear stare. Holy shit. That was definitely. Those two things were the things I had the issue with the most. Because it's like, well, what do we do? Well, how do we stop them? Let's just stare at them.
Yeah. We all have to focus intently on one thing.
Hope and courage and humanity. On the thing that makes us a paragon.
Love. And, yeah.
And they all just stand there.
They're just like,
yeah.
I really wanted to see like the beams of light come out of their chest. If it had been the Legends episode, we would have seen it. We would have fucking seen it.
Yeah, we would have probably.
So this episode 4 opens on planet Maltus 10,000 years ago.
Technically, it's Eros episode 8.
Yep.
And the last episode's Legends of Tomorrow special episode.
Yep. Because they haven't come back yet.
Right.
Officially. So planet Maltus, this is where the Monitor was created.
Yep.
And we get a nice little nod there where he's basically going to travel through time to the beginning of creation. You know, he thinks that he's perfected this quantum leap device and his wife is monitoring him, and he actually says at one point, I'm just a time traveler, my dear. You are the Monitor.
Yep.
And then he becomes the Monitor. He essentially, by going back to the dawn of creation,
yep,
he created the tear in the universe that led to the anti-universe.
Right. Yes. As I said, so, and he unleashed the Anti-Monitor based on this, and he got trapped in time and becoming the Monitor.
Yep.
So he created the domino effect, the chain of events, whatever you want to call it, yes.
Which anybody who's ever watched a Doctor Who or a sci-fi show or read a comic book immediately recognized and said, oh, I know how to stop it then. We just have to stop him from going back in time.
Yeah.
It's easy peasy.
Not really, because they try that. So we get to our heroes, and Flash isn't there because he ran off from the Speed Force, and it's been, what, 3 months or something like that?
Yep.
Where'd they eat for food?
I have no idea.
How do they get sustenance?
Well, they're in the vanishing point, so I have to assume that, like, because they exist outside of space and time,
they're not hungry.
They're not
okay.
Necessary. I like the little rundown that the Humanity Paragon was doing, where he was like, "The Paragon of Destiny doesn't even believe in tomorrow. The Paragon of Courage works herself to the bone, training for a fight that will never come. The Paragon of Honor just meditates for hours on end." The Paragon of Hope has lost hers.
Yeah.
And me, I spend my days trying to repurpose the technology in this place.
Yeah.
It was a cool little monologue there.
Yeah, actually, it really was.
But you're right. Barry's gone.
Oliver shows up finally. He's back. He's gotten out of the Speed Force. He thinks he's been only there a few seconds. He's been gone for months. Oliver shows up. The Spectre.
Yep.
And taps Oliver on the brain, on the forehead, and basically says, I've opened your brain to everything, and da-da-da-da. And I like when Oliver just, when Barry just goes, that's it, you just touch me on the forehead?
Yeah, well, before that, we got, like, a black and white recap of Ollie's biggest fights.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You know, and this was when the Spectre tapped him, and we basically just saw the showdowns of the end of each season.
Yes.
And, he told him that he sees everything now. So, yeah. He shows up. I've unlocked your potential, Barry. Oh, you just
Did you tap me on the forehead?
Yeah.
And then he asked him, he's like, do you trust me? And Barry's like, are you Oliver Queen? Yes. Then I trust you with every cell in my body. He's like, okay. So basically, some of them are going to stop the Anti-Monitor. Others will try to stop Mar-Novu from breaching the reality. So he basically splits them up into two teams. He says, some of you are going back to the dawn of creation to stop the Anti-Monitor. Some of you are going to stop Mar-Novu from even going through the portal.
But while they're in the Speed Force, they get attacked.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Yep.
And this really felt like a Hulk, except for one scene. That was amazing. This all felt like filler that we didn't need.
Right.
It's like, oh, we got to stretch this out so we have all five episodes. Because essentially, other than the one scene we'll talk about in a minute, this was basically Barry trying to find
Oliver.
Well, Oliver, everybody,
yep.
The Paragons, in, because now they're all in, Oliver's using his mind to put them in places that they're familiar with. However, they don't belong there. It's like a memory. So we're basically getting to see flashes of other crisis events, the first time they've met, whatever it is. We get to relive.
Sarah gets dumped into the room where she's dead.
Yeah.
Like when Laurel first saw her dead body and wants to take up the mantle.
And Barry shows up and touches her on the head, and she sits up and is like, it's like, it's a miracle. You know what I mean? She's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So basically, it feels like all filler to me. But Barry's got to go around and find everybody. He's got to find Oliver and Sarah and all the Paragons. So we're getting flashbacks to some best of moments.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's it is what it is. But then we get this scene.
We had Ray Palmer talking to a newly returned Oliver.
Yeah.
But Kate was there watching that.
Yeah.
We had Oliver and Kara talking about the alien attack from the last crossover. And then John Jones showed up for that. You had Superman versus Superman in the last crossover. Oliver was there, but Flash wasn't there, and now he shows up. So these were some of the ones that were... Yeah. But the scene.
Oh, my God. This was... the best, and
the one that they kept the most secret.
Yes.
Except for the very day after it aired.
Yes.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
All the headlines didn't even try to, they didn't even say like, oh, that cameo was exciting. Click here to read more. They were just like straight up.
Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
Who played the Flash in the DC Universe movies and allegedly has a Flash movie coming out, appears as Flash in his Flash costume. Like when we see him, I'm like, oh my God. Like I flipped out big time. I even missed some of what they said because I was like reacting to it.
They were geeking out completely. Oh, they were talking about each other's outfits. You know, he's like, oh, that's kind of armored. And he's looking at Barry's and he's like, it's so aerodynamic. And, you know, oh, it's so smooth and sleek. And
he doesn't even like, Ezra Miller's Flash doesn't recognize Barry as being a Flash.
Right.
Because he doesn't know about the multiverse or anything else like that. Whereas Barry's just like, oh, hey, you're a speedster, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you want a picture? So that's a great costume. I'm the Flash. Oh, I'm the Flash. Oh, and she gets Barry Allen. What?
No way.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
One thing that I loved was when Ezra Miller said, I told Victor this was possible. And I think he said it as he was fading out.
Yes.
Which was great.
Yes.
Because that's Cyborg, you know, and he's like, I told him it was possible. Yep.
But what's great about this also is the fact that Ezra Miller played to the hilt his version of the Flash.
Oh, yeah.
So
the geeky, over-the-top nerd boy.
Yeah. I think, what was it, Mark?
Guggenheim.
Guggenheim. Really did the DC movie universe justice by having Ezra Miller on here.
Yes.
Because it also says, oh, and by the way, this is why our Barry Allen's not being the Flash in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because they live in different universes.
Yep.
The multiverse.
I 100% agree. This was so phenomenal.
It was like, good job.
Yes. Yep.
Good job. No, Ezra Miller's cameo, like, that was the best moment of this. One of the best moments, if not the best moment of the crisis.
It was phenomenal. It was so good.
It wasn't like all the cameos we saw at the beginning where we had all the different universes, all the different old TV shows recognized and acknowledged and everything. Where they got maybe a cameo or a line, or like Smallville, we got more. Flash 90, we got more. You know, the girl from Birds of Prey, we got a little bit more. But this was even bigger.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't them in their own universe. It was actually
you know, that Flash and this Flash talking to each other.
In the Speed Force, in yes. what looked like Barry Allen's lab.
Yes, from there. The DC, yeah, movies. I mean, this was so fucking cool.
It was.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I'm so happy with that. And again, I saw the spoiler the next day, and I was like, son of a bitch, I can't wait to fucking watch this.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't see that spoiler at all. I love it. Oh, here we go. He loves Barry's costume, as he should. It's more appropriate for running and far superior to that weird clunky thing he wears.
Yep.
nobody has yet called DCEU Barry by the Flash. So when he goes, oh, I'm the Flash too. He goes, the Flash? Oh, hey, that's a great name.
That's true.
Because yeah. he's not called the Flash in this. He's just right. Barry Allen.
So he's now been officially named.
Yeah. DCEU Barry didn't have proof the multiverse existed, but he clearly had his suspicions. Again, I told Victor this was possible, which, again, Victor Stone Cyborg. I mean, yeah, that was so cool. And the cameos we got at the end of the series, I mean, just built on this. But this yeah. was so cool. But, yeah, I never thought about that. But you're right. He's never been called the Flash.
So now he's been named.
And now he's like, oh, that's a great name. The Flash.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, 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 really fucking cool and really well done. And it is funny, now that I think about it, that the Ezra Miller's Flash did comment how the other Barry's Flash costume was cooler.
Yeah.
Because, oh, yeah, that's better for running.
Exactly. It's more aerodynamic. Yeah. So, meanwhile, we've got Humanity, Kara, and Lex Luthor
yes.
that are supposed to be stopping Mar Novu from going back in time.
Yeah.
And turns out that Lex, again...
Oh, okay, sorry. The third thing that pisses me off...
Which, again, is part of the bigger issue.
Yeah.
Lex gave himself some upgrades.
Yeah.
His words, not mine.
Right.
When he checked the Book of Destiny out of the library.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he said.
So he can shoot laser bolts from his hands or some shit?
Yeah, which apparently are enough to knock out Supergirl.
Yeah.
So he knocks her out, and then...
But doesn't kill Ryan Choi when he hits him with them.
No, but Ryan Choi comes over and he goes, what are you doing? Boom! I'm getting so tired of answering that.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
So he basically tries to go talk Maltus into...
Mar Novu.
Sorry, Mar Novu into not doing it.
Well, but kind of. He tells him, he's like, basically what you're going to do is screw things up. However, it's going to give you some amazingly infinite power.
Yeah.
I want that power.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you how to do this so that you don't screw up the universe, but I get to keep your power.
And then Supergirl Choi shows up, and he explains to him, blah, blah, blah. And I do like Lex's line of, like, you just ruined a perfectly good bad guy plan.
Love that. You just ruined a perfectly good bad guy plan. You know that new guy?
But they think they stopped him from doing it. They all go to the dawn of time when Barry shows up and grabs them all. And just to find the anti-monitor still there and saying, yeah, okay, he didn't do it, but guess who did do it? Another version of himself from another multiverse.
Before we get to that, there were, when everybody was seeing their own things, like yeah. you had John Jones saw, you know, Kara and Oliver from the last crossover.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of gives him a little pep talk, which he needed for himself as well. And then Kate is learning about, you know, trusting people.
Yeah.
Looking at Oliver's old example. So they're all kind of learning stuff before they do this. So then, yes, we get there, and he actually, the anti-monitor actually says, in the vast multiverse, there will always be one Mar Novu who cannot be swayed from his lofty ambition.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
And then the shadows even show up. Yeah.
Shit. You know, we stopped one, but yeah. This is the multiverse.
So the shadow demons show up. Idy Monitor goes off and fights Spectre, Oliver Spectre, whatever you want to call him. We get shadow demons killed. We get the Care Bear stare. We get the universe, Oliver dying. Getting a good death this time.
At one point, he's going to rebirth the universe.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he says. And so I can't remember who asked him, but somebody asked him, why do you cosmic types always have to be so obtuse? And he's like, if I knew, I'd tell you. God damn it.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty hilarious.
Because
if I knew the answer, I would just tell you.
Yeah. but they decide that they're going to use what's left of the book to fan the flame.
Yeah.
And all they do is basically look at the book and say, oh, yeah, we're paragons of stuff. Let's Care Bear stare at him and focus on our individual... The power of love. The power of humanity.
Yeah.
And then my last note for part four is, Oliver is now dead.
Yeah. Well, he got a good death, though.
Yep.
You know.
He got a hero's death.
Yeah. I mean, we have two more episodes
Arrow.
We got Green Arrow and the Canaries, which is the backdoor pilot to Green Arrow and the Canaries.
Yep.
And then the final episode next week called Fade Out.
And apparently they said that it's going back to the literal beginning of Arrow.
Yep.
And Felicity will be back.
Yep.
Even though she's off the show.
We shall see.
So part five.
Part five.
So it starts off with Kara being back at home. And Alex is talking to her and says, boy, the White Martian must have really kicked your butt last night and done a number on you.
Yeah.
And then Nia calls up. She's like, hey, you got to get down here. They're handing out the Peace Prize. And it's to Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And this is weird because it's Lex Luthor.
And it's the only time we see Lex in the episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And basically, she has to, like, she is confused. She and John know the truth, but Nia tells her, she's like, what are you talking about, Lex? Lex and Lena are your two biggest supporters. They're the ones that have protected you all these years.
And Lex, you know, it's great seeing someone get the Nobel Prize that finally deserves it. And Lex winks at her.
Yeah.
But he knows.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And she even says Lex is the boss.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means the boss of the DEO.
No, yes, because the DEO is a Luthor Corp.
That's right.
It had it in the logo on the floor, yeah.
And now... Kara gets a distress call. She has to go out. It's Weather Witch.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's surprised that Kara doesn't know her. And Kara's like, I don't know who you are. And then Flash shows up.
He's like,
and stops her. And he's like, no, she's one of mine. She must have come from my Earth. And she's like, what are you talking about? This is my Earth. And he's like, no, this is my Earth.
Yeah.
So,
and then this is the best part, which I don't know if you recognize. A fan runs up to him and is like, hey, can you guys sign these autographs for me? This is great. You know,
sign it to Marv.
Yeah, send it to Marv. It's fucking Marv Wolfman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who
I said that. I'm like, oh, fuck it.
He wrote Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yep.
He co-created
a lot of other things.
And he co-created New Teen Titans and everything as well. But so he wrote the original comic book Crisis on Infinite Earths. And basically he's like, yeah, you guys have always been together like this.
Yeah.
So this is when we find out that in this new universe that they've woken up into, this restored universe, for whatever reason, Earth 38 and Earth 1 and another Earth, we find out later.
Earth, it's BL.
Whatever. But we find out later. It doesn't matter. Black Lightning's Earth.
Yeah.
So that's how Black Lightning exists. Now, those three Earths have all been merged together.
Yep.
Into what they call Earth Prime.
Yes. But there's still a multiverse.
There's still a multiverse.
Because at first it seems like there's only one Earth, but we will find out later that there is a multiverse out there.
And then later they see Kate. And Scott's like, oh, Kate's here too. This is awesome. Because, like, they're all excited that they're on the same Earth together.
Yep.
But what they don't know is that Oliver's dead, and not back. So when they kind of show up and you know, Sarah's like, no, Oliver's gone.
And let's not forget, too, that just like you said earlier about Arrow, this is a
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends episode.
Yes.
So it has to be Legends.
So we have, we see, like, Ava and... Nate. There we go. Like on their ship, but that's it. You see him a couple of times talking, but we don't see him in the episode. Rory's there on a book signing,
And he's become public.
Yes,
like everybody knows he is Rebecca.
Yes, and of course Brandon Routh, the Atom, whatever, he's there. But basically,
I love it. He's like, was there a crossover? Were we invited? Did we win?
Yeah, we must have if we're here. Because they do talk about, oh, is this a crossover episode?
Yep. And also, Nash is back in the tunnels under Central City.
Yes.
The wall's solid.
Yes.
He broke through it.
There was another crossover reference later on.
Yes.
Oh, near the end when it's Black Lightning goes like, with this. Yeah, well,
there were a lot of crossover.
But like his reference is like, was this like you guys like save the world like every year or something like that? Well, yeah, basically. But I love the fact that John Jones, using his psychic powers, whatever, he's going to touch people on the head. He goes like, you know what? I can explain it to you, but this is easier. Boom. And now everyone knows what's happened.
Well, he tried to stick to just the heroes.
Yes.
Not every hero.
No, correct. But just the heroes. Alex knows.
Yep.
A lot of people know. And it makes it
easier to explain. We don't have to explain everything all the time.
Yep.
But yeah, so, and Oliver's gone. He's not coming back. And then Bebo shows up.
Well, we have the Arrow Cave.
Yes.
And it looks kind of empty.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Team Arrow's there,
yes.
And Martian Manhunter shows up and touches them and gives them the memories. And so they know that Oliver's dead.
Yes.
And they know that the worlds have now merged. And so.
But I love how everyone keeps showing up there. And like, what, does everyone know where this place is?
One thing that I found very interesting was Diggle says that Connor is gone. Oliver's kid.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
So, I don't know what's up with that because Connor was in the future.
Yeah.
You know, with Nia. And I don't know that he's part of the Green Arrow.
He might not be.
But it was very interesting because then later on, not to jump ahead, but later on we see that Diggle has both of his kids.
Yes.
He has young Sarah and he has JJ.
Yes, which is awesome.
So, I don't know what's up with that.
I was very... When I saw that Diggle had both his kids, I was like, oh my god, they corrected it! Diggle's got both his kids!
Well, it's great, but at the same time, the fact that Connor is gone, like, why was Connor wiped out of existence, but Nia was?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, while we're there, though, Bebo shows up. And they have to fight a giant Bebo. So we get lots of comedy here.
And this is the first time that they make mention of the fact, remember at the end of the last season of Legends, that Sari no longer had her stone. It was her brother.
Yep.
And Barry says, you know, oh, he told us that you, Sarah goes, it's a long story. And he goes, oh yeah, he told us that you guys all basically banded your power together and created a giant Bebo to send a demon back to hell. Okay. I guess it's not that long of a story.
But
you got Shanghai into another crossover, didn't you?
Bebo is a hologram. He can somehow really destroy things, but they can't stop him like they tried.
Sargon the Sorcerer.
Yes. And they go, wait a second, Kate's like, well, this would be a diversion, right?
Yeah.
And then we get to guy breaking into a place and then they'll go stop him.
We also got this line from this and I can't
remember. Bebo falls down. It turns to goo. It was hilarious.
Yes. I think this was John Diggle. It says, is this what all the crossovers are like? I'm never letting my child watch this show again.
Yes!
And then when they kill him, somebody should have told you Bebo is off limits. And then what you were talking about earlier, then we're down in the Arrow lair and somebody else shows up and he's like, "What? Hold on, what did he say? He goes, was there a memo that went out about how to infiltrate our secret lair?
So are we basically seeing the last of Team Arrow?
I believe so, yes. Well, Juliana Harkaday, who plays Dinah, the Black Canary, she will be part of Arrow and the Black Canary. So we might see them as well as, like, in crossover stuff. They haven't given us the full cast yet, but it's supposed to take place in this future. And we've seen those characters in the future, so.
So did we get Diggle's Happily Ever After, him and his wife and his kids together?
I think we might have.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yep. So Nash pops in. He says that his gauntlet's reading massive amounts of antimatter.
Yeah.
Sarah's basically gone full depression.
Yep.
And she actually, like, this was not CW depression. This was legitimate. I totally get what she was saying. Because she basically said that Oliver was the last connection she had to the world. Mm-hmm. Because he knew her before the boat.
Yep.
He knew her on the boat. He knew her after the boat. She's been an assassin. She's been this. Her dad's gone. Her sister's gone. Like, this was her last vestige of connection to the world. And without him, she really has nothing except for her family.
Yep.
So why should she bother being on Earth? Why should she care? And it was actually really well done. I really appreciated her, you know, talking about this. It wasn't just like, oh, without Oliver, how are we supposed to go on? It wasn't anything like that. She made it very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get one of the Antimatter shadow demons that breaks up the little pep talk.
Yes.
Barry goes full flash, you know, slows down time, punches it. These shadow demons really died easy.
They died super easy.
Like, everything kills them. Yep. Bullets kill them. Staffs kill them.
Punch in the head, kill them. Anything that basically connects to them kills them.
Yeah.
And then they realize that all the heroes are fending for themselves. And they're like, well, wait a minute. If he's coming after the Paragons,
yeah,
we got to go save Ryan. And
yes.
His little baby.
So they go save Ryan. And then they have the big standoff with the monitor. And they figure out that if they can build some device that will micro-size him.
Originally, Mick was like, let's just throw him into the sun. And they're like, yeah, let's throw him into the sun and cause an antimatter explosion destroying the solar system. Yeah, that's what I said. A solar system. We've only got one of those. But, yeah, so Ryan says, you know, we could keep shrinking him infinitely, essentially. You know, hit him with this thing, and he would shrink infinitely based on his power, and he would just keep getting smaller and smaller into a microverse. And Ray's like, oh, that's cool. I called it an atomverse. Yours is way cooler. It's microverse.
But there might be some copyright stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, it's a Legends episode, so.
So Ryan Choi, by the way, with Brandon Routh leaving, this news I found says that Ryan Choi could be the new Adam.
Because in the comics, he was the Adam in one book.
So, I mean, that would be cool.
Yep.
The microverse that he and Ray are referring to is straight out of the comics, and it's the realm of Ray himself got lost in. And incidentally, yeah, that's about it. We got Sargon the Sorcerer.
Yep.
He's like this note here says he's been around the comics since 1941.
Nice.
Although he isn't a villain, he's actually one of DC's classic magical heroes and pops up from time to time, including the original Crisis book. But it's like, oh, cool. We got an old school DC comics hero from the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever.
Considering we were promised Psycho Pirate and we never got him in any shape or form.
Right. In the Vanishing Point, we see Supergirl carrying the tattered cape of Earth 96 Superman, which is a reverse nod to the famous cover where of issue 8, where Superman is holding Kara's corpse.
Yep.
Kara sent up, up, and away.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the fact that we have Superman and Lois on this world. I like the fact that they've put everybody on the same universe.
Yes.
We see at the end all the other universes, of course, but we still see this universe.
So basically, we've got the final showdown
mm-hmm.
that we're working towards. John Jones has a new look. He's like, New Earth, new look. And it's a cool, darker color
yes.
Martian Manhunter yes. outfit. I can't remember who said it, but they were talking to Mick and they were like, I read your book, Rebecca. And he's like, which one? I'm prolific. And then, it was Caitlin because she was there as Killer Frost.
Yes, that's right.
And they were supposed to be defending Star Labs while the nerd team, they kept calling
yeah.
them the nerd team, built the anti-monitor bomb
yes.
that was going to shrink him down. And
that's when Black Lightning shows up and joins the fray.
Yeah. Yep. And he's like, apparently I'm here now. And yeah.
Yeah. So, I love how he literally goes, apparently I'm here now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was his line.
Yeah. And then we've got the anti-monitor fighting the other heroes and he decides to just grow, you know, just
yes.
become super large.
Which when he was short, he was fighting them handily, and then he grew and couldn't fight them anymore.
Yeah, because he had like a super shield when he was
yeah.
shorter.
Yeah.
Whatever. I like when they were like, we could really use a fast set of hands. So Barry takes off and goes yeah. in there, and they're like, all right, what does he say? Those pieces are very volatile. He's like, okay, all right, guess we're all set.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that was like expertly done.
Yeah. And then he takes that up to Supergirl and
yeah.
gives her the great line of, throw it like a girl. She's
and
like,
she does.
Oh, she does.
But her arm, her throw is
yep.
so terrible.
But
no form
Superman
in that throw.
Had gotten grabbed by the anti-monitor,
yes.
was being crushed, and Ray shot him with a shrink ray.
Yes.
Shrunk him down so that he escaped it. And she throws the grenade, it hits him, he starts shrinking infinitely,
yeah.
and then, where's Superman?
I'm right here! Yeah.
But then we start getting the happy ending stuff.
Like, we see Diggle with his kids. We see Clark. He gets on the phone with Lois, and he has two sons.
That's what she says, your sons. She doesn't
yeah.
say how many.
Right. Your sons, yeah.
Yeah.
Plural. So.
And he has to get down there, which is interesting because all the stuff up until now has said that Superman and Lois was coming, and it
yep.
was going to show the two of them raising Jonathan Kent.
Yes.
Never said anything about multiple sons.
Right.
So it could have been one of those secrets that they were keeping for this.
I'm just going to jump around a little bit on these Earth, different Earths we see at the end.
We're seeing the Earth, but we're also hearing the president.
Yes.
Who we don't recognize. I don't know why they didn't.
It would have been cool if they could have gotten, if they would have gotten Linda Carter to be president again. But yeah, she's doing
an address. She's calling Oliver Queen the first of our heroes, which is a very big nod to the TV series because he was the first that actually started all this.
And through her monologue or her speech about this, we're seeing all these different worlds. Yep. Like we're seeing, so we see, and these are probably out of order, but we see a new Earth 2, which is where the Stargirl series would take place.
JSA.
We see Stargirl and the Stripe, along with the modern version classic of the JSA characters, Dr. Midnight, Hourman, and Yolanda Montez version of Wildcat. So one other fun connection to the comics that the pages of Crisis Infinite Earths that Yolanda Montez took over for the Wildcat mantle from Ted Grant. Earth 12, the home of the Green Lantern Corps. That was cool.
Again, it was from the Green Lantern movie, but knowing that we've got that HBO Max series coming,
it was cool.
Fucking sick.
And then all the other DC Universe live action shows are accounted for. We see Titans are back on Earth 9.
Yep.
The revelation that the Swamp Thing took place on Earth 19, which I still hope maybe we'll get Swamp Thing back. Doom Patrol on Earth 21.
I really want to see the Doom Patrol show. Didn't they look happy dancing around?
Yeah, they did.
And
I love all these little details in there that they had about it. My favorite, though, is when we see Brandon Roth as Superman again.
Yes.
But he doesn't have the black symbol. It's the yellow symbol. So, and it's Earth 96, which I – so here's the thing. This is – and we hear the John Williams music playing. And he's doing, I mean, literally the flyby that they did is the same thing that Christopher Reeve did at all the Superman movies. So this is not Kingdom Come Superman anymore. This is Superman Returns Superman. So now, and I'm getting chills saying it, which is absurd because I'm a 40-year-old man. This shouldn't do this to me. But now, the original four Superman movies and the, you know, the Christopher Reeve movies and the Brandon Routh movie are now part of this Arrowverse canon.
Yep.
They've tied all of those movies together, which... we never got a nod to those movies and the opening of the other series or and everything.
Right.
But now in this Superman's world, it looks like, you know, he never lost Jimmy and Perry and Lois to that attack because it never happened.
Right.
So, I mean, that's awesome. But that I got a little teary-eyed when I saw version of Superman because it's like, oh.
Now, this is the point that you were talking about with Black Lightning. He actually said, I mean, how often does the world almost end?
Oh, yeah.
And they just kind of looked at him and he goes, oh, it's like that.
Yeah.
So that's cool that they actually rolled them all into the same world. I really like that because we've been talking about how they're so desperate. And now Barry and Kara can work together.
Yes.
And we can see crossovers with the Legends and Black Lightning. And yeah. So. Then we had the thing that gave me the biggest goosebumps and the holy shit. Basically, they had an old Star Labs warehouse.
Yes.
It was decommissioned that nobody was using, you know. And Barry said that he set this up so that they could have a place to gather if something like this happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, oh, here's the coolest part. And he pulls off a tarp and there's a round table with each of the leaders' symbols on the chairs. It's the fucking Hall of Justice.
Oh, it is the Hall of Justice.
And then we actually pan outside and we see the Hall of Justice and we hear the fucking Super Friends theme music playing.
Yep.
Not only that.
It looked like a perfect Hall of Justice.
It looked like a perfect. And we hear a laughing monkey. And they're like, what is that? And we pan across a cage that has been opened up that says Gleek on it.
Which is the Wonder Twins.
The Wonder Twins monkey.
Yep.
Xan and Jaina. And the fucking monkey.
Yep.
Oh.
So we got the Justice League. We got Super Friends.
Dude, hearing that.
Yeah, it was awesome. They did a phenomenal job with this crossover. I would love it if they just released this crossover on a DVD set. That would be the best, because I would buy that. Yeah, phenomenal job with this crossover, all the little nods and everything they did and bringing the whole universe together and giving a great farewell. I mean, we got tremendous farewells to Flash 1990, you know, to Oliver Queen, to Stephen Amell's, all, you know, Arrow.
Oh, it was a beautiful send-off.
You know what I mean?
Too bad that he's got a few more episodes, but I'm sure that they'll be very
well. There's only two. And like you said, one's called Fade Out, one's the backdoor pilot, so he's not even going to be in it anyways. Maybe in flashback mode, who knows. But we got some great closure to those characters. We've got that awesome crossover with the current DC cinematic universe. We got the awesome, like, bringing in of the original Superman movies into the fold as part of the canon. I mean, like, they did an awesome job. Yeah. The nods to everything that they did, you know, the current DC Universe TV shows that are on the DCU. You know, I mean, like, Mark Guggenheim did a wonderful thing in his team by basically taking what the DC movies couldn't do and all these different DC shows and bringing everything together and say, hey, we're all one.
Exactly. This is the first step that they've really taken to put themselves on par with Marvel in that respect.
Yes.
I mean, it's still apples to oranges.
Yep.
Because Marvel's entire thing has pretty much, I mean, aside from the Netflix stuff, has pretty much been the cinematic stuff.
Yeah.
But this was the first major step and a beautiful step in bridging those gaps and saying everything is ours. That thing that's coming out on HBO, that's part of us.
Yes. Superman movies that you love with Christopher Reeve, that's part of this.
Yes.
You know, all those DC Universe shows, the upcoming Stargirl show, the new Lois and Superman show, that's all part of us.
Yeah. And who knows what else they'll fold in later on. You know, when the Crisis on Infinite Earths comic
Yeah.
It was designed to get rid of all the years of convoluted multiverse. And they wiped out everything else and just kept an Earth Prime.
Yep.
And then eventually there were more that spawned off it. But in this case, they actually left those other Earths open.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens there. You know what was weird, though? One thing that really kind of struck me as odd was in both the Arrow 4 and 5, parts 4 and 5, we had zero Cisco Ramon.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no Iris West.
Nope.
There was no Ralph Dibny.
Nope.
But of all the things, when we're talking like multiple universes colliding, creating a bomb that's going to shrink him down, where was Cisco?
Yeah, you think Cisco would be there for that?
Yeah.
Was Brainiac wasn't there.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Brainiac wasn't there either. Yeah. There's a lot of characters there.
Yeah. And it was still, it was great. It was so nice to see that. Jesus. Yeah, I'm constantly hearing the Super Friends music in my head.
Right now. Yeah. No, I it was awesome. I can't. And it's funny because last year they hinted what next year's crossover would be.
This year they did not.
And well, they can. I mean, Arrow was getting done. You know, the new shows, the Black Lightning's here. I mean, yeah, Stargirl's here. But Stargirl is in a different universe.
Yep. But that's okay because now they can tap that.
Yeah.
They now have given themselves permission to tap into those other DC shows at any time. And since they're doing this weird thing with Stargirl where she's going to be on the DC and she's going to be on CW, they're showing that. They're like, you could see Titans show up in the next crossover.
Yep.
Like, not just as a cameo, but literally show up. Doom Patrol might come up as a mid-season crossover.
Yep. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking forward to Legends being back.
Me too.
Forward to this season. I'm glad they're back for another season.
Yep.
I'm excited for what they're going to do. I would love to see more of Lucifer and Constantine together.
Yes.
That's another thing. We didn't see Constantine in these two episodes either.
We didn't.
But he was pretty heavy in the first three.
Yep.
So, all right, that's about it for me.
And me.
That was a long episode. Last 40 minutes, basically all on Justice League. But
it deserved it.
Yeah. Cool.
You called it Justice League and not Crisis.
That's what it feels like. On Twitter, I'm Superstar Mal.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's the show.
Later.